Enjoying your day, because you know 5 o'clock will be here pretty soon and you can get your weekend started. That's what I'm talking about right there. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and we got an outstanding show for you today, and I hope everybody is having a good one. All right, today is Freedom Friday, man. That means open conversation, and we just do what we do, man. That's all it is. We're going to talk about some things and maybe laugh at a little bit of things and, you know, kid here, kid there, get serious every now and then. But I'm looking forward to a very, very exciting show today. So I hope everybody's ready and, you know, we can get the rocking and rolling. That's for sure. Man, I'm telling you, there's a lot going on in the news all of a sudden, you know. We're going to talk a little bit about this veteran thing that's going on, man, because it's really something that's getting on my nerves. And I know for other veterans, I know we kind of, you know, y'all should be upset also, because this veteran thing is more to it than what it looks like on the surface. So we're going to talk about that a little bit also. And then whatever else you want to talk about, man, I mean, it's your day, you know, open conversation. I just started off, but where we end up at, I have no idea. You know, that's why it's Freedom Friday. You have the freedom to control the conversation to a certain extent. Now, let me go on and put it out there, you know, because there will be no silliness and, you know, all this other craziness that, you know, some of y'all like to come in here with. All right, so I'm just saying, and we're going to rock and roll, though. Regardless of what we do, we're going to rock and roll, and I hope everybody is ready, you know. Because it's Friday. I mean, what else y'all got to do on a Friday? Sit at your desk and look at the clock and try and count down to that whistle or that last 5 seconds, and you can bolt out and be gone. Okay, and for some of y'all across the water, y'all already enjoying your weekend, so happy weekend to you. You know what I mean? You may be getting ready to go club hopping or you know, sitting at home, sipping on some wine, watching some movies with your boo or by yourself, you know, just relaxing. You know, that's what weekends are all about, man, just sitting back and relaxing. You know, I'm telling you, I was thinking so bad. One time I was thinking, man, and this recently, I was thinking about doing a weekend show where I just do nothing but play music. You know, I'm still thinking about that, but I'm still debating on that one about the music part, man. You know, I just had to sit back and think about that one. But that's an idea. Just sit back and play nice, chilled, old school music. You know, nothing harsh. You know, nothing outrageous. Just sit back and relax and reminisce. Sip on some wine, some MD, or, you know, just whatever. Or we can make it a combination. Little music, little conversation. Little music, little conversation. Who knows? I'm just throwing some things around like I always do. Like I always do. All right. So if you want to be a part of the show today, no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join me in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate in the show today. Also, I want to go ahead and welcome in my co-host, Mr. Cloud Nation Radio, a.k.a. Akeem, is in the house. All right, man, what's going on? I'm going to get that Cloud out of there eventually. I don't know what it is with Cloud. I think it's the sea.
Oh, man.
I'm just enjoying it today. It's a Friday, you know, it's summertime. You gotta love it.
I know, right? Y'all better enjoy this chill weather while you can, because y'all know what's about to happen. I know here in Texas, I know what's about to happen, because, whoo, boy, y'all better enjoy it while you can. And let me give my shout-outs out while we got some people in the chat room. We got Ava, Indiana, which y'all know who that is. I'm not going to say nothing. Of course, we got my man Cloud Nation out there. Then we got Divine Design, hey, honey. And then you got guests 917 and 940 in the house. Welcome to the show, y'all. I hope y'all enjoying. Y'all enjoying it so far, because we got a lot going on. You know what? I actually had a specific song picked out for today, being that it was Friday. But for some reason, between this thunderstorm that just rolled through and the computer, they didn't get on the same page. So it happens that way sometimes. It really does. You know, sometimes I just have no control over it. But good for me. You know, I always have a backup. Because I'm good like that. You know, I'm good like that. So before we go ahead, let me bring Joe in. You know, that Joe said he got to get in before everybody else because he never gets a chance to talk. I don't know how that happens, but anyway, let me bring Mr. Joe in. Mr. Joe, welcome to the show. All right, you got static now. Come on, Joe, let's
get
the static.
That's not me. I hear that static. That's not me. That's, okay. That just went away.
Yeah, see? Uh-huh.
That's you this time, I think, Eric. Anyway, I'll switch in a few minutes. I just wanted to get in before the official big mouth started talking about whitey, blackie, religion, and all the other kind of crap. Now, your show started off as a neutral show where people had an opinion, and it was an opinion that either was out of their personal experience or their opinion that was based on something they read, and it really didn't have any type of unilateral issue. But Jesus, do we always have to relegate ourselves to the blackie-whitey thing? Can't we just talk about a subject without always talking about how blackie's doing this and whitey's doing that?
Well, Joe, you know, I try and, how can I put this? That's what I thrive for the show to be, Joe. You know, neutral, mm-hmm. And we just discuss, you know, conversations or things that's happening.
Right.
However, as you know, just like I am aware, that this
I know,
nation...
You let people talk. How about this, then? You don't have to regulate it. Huh?
No, you say I don't have to regulate it? Go ahead.
No, but if I jump in, you know, well, I'm not obnoxious. Usually I'm not obnoxious. But if I jump in, then, you know, it could, well, I could try to. But, you know, it'll probably inflame it for a little while because, you know, but that's the market system. I mean, let me as a consumer of your show jump in with the other consumers of your show and see what I can do about it, because I don't want to always talk about how, if we talk about Sarah Palin, it's blackie-whitey. If we talk about fishing, it's blackie-whitey. If we talk about the vets, it's blackie-whitey. I'll tell you what. I'll leave it up to me. That's my responsibility. That's my pet peeve. Let me see if I can handle it the way I can, all right? Because I know that you want people to feel free to express their opinions. I'll express my opinion, too, and see what I can do. Is that fair?
Well, was that so hard to say, Joe?
No, it wasn't.
Totally honest with you, though, in some cases, in many cases, Joe, sometimes you cannot discuss an issue without bringing that dynamic into it. You know what I mean? But not every conversation, you know, requires that dynamic to be brought up. You know, but that's just the way a lot of individuals think. And hopefully we're trying to get them away from that.
Yeah,
you know what
well,
I mean?
Yeah. But let me see what I can do about it. I'll try to just make sure that if they got something to say, they'll have to have something to back it up, because we can't talk about fishing or eating and everything is about blackie whitey. All right. But you're right. There are certain topics which are definitely Afrocentric, no problem. But does that by itself also have to always bring in how the yoke of the devil and the white? I'm not even talking about Supreme. I'm talking about the yoke of the white man and that. That's you know. Whew. All right, I'll do what I can do. All right,
well,
and I'll risk getting shot. Okay, no problem. I know how you monitor the show. I'll risk it. Don't worry.
Well, you know, in some instances, you know, some individuals, you know, that's their mantra and they stick to it. I mean, you can't really knock them for it because they're speaking what they believe. But I do agree, though. Sometimes it gets monotonous and you want to hear something different than, you know, the same old rigmarole all the time. So I'm with you on that, Joe. I'm with you.
All right.
And that's why I usually have, you know, different, you know, topics, so we won't get into that same old, you know, to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I'm working on some things. Like I said, I got to get with Cloud Nation, and we're going to work together and see if we can't come up with some things, you know.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to give kudos out to Cloud Nation. The past couple of times that I've been here, he's mm-hmm. He said, hey, how you doing? You know, that's not like what Ngoni would say. Ngoni, you know, Ngoni would say, yeah, get the hell out of here, Joe.
Leave her alone now. Leave her alone.
Yeah. Okay, listen, you white knight. You and that goddamn white horse of yours always coming to the protection of women. That's
right.
Another thing we should talk about.
Or whatever. Hey. Yeah, somebody have to. Are you mutts running around here trying to jump on them? Hey, somebody
like
got
they can't
them.
Protect themselves? Are you kidding? Wait a minute. Did you download that show?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'm going to get the link and put it in the chat room right now.
All right, and that way I listen to it sometime this weekend.
All right. Oh, you're going to get pissed off.
Seriously. I doubt it, seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
okay.
I'm going to start taking my medication again. That way nobody piss me off again.
All right.
But anyway,
I'm going to get rid of this static. I'll be right back. Okay.
All right. yeah. Oh, man, I tell you. Well, I tell you, that cat there is funny sometimes. Cloud Nation, what you think, man?
Oh, man, I'm just enjoying listening to you guys talk about a variety of different things. It's a wonderful Friday, though, I will say that. I mean, you know, beautiful weather, no matter where you are, I think, for the most part, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, got a little rain just popped in on my side. So, but anyway, it's still beautiful. You know, still a beautiful day.
And weekend is around the corner, so that's always a good thing.
Always. anyway, like I said, I really want to talk about some vets, the vet thing going on today, because that is really, really crazy, man. Hold on, wait a minute. And it's not like it seems, you know, on the surface. So we're gonna talk about it in a little bit. But before then, I think I want to hear a little music right about now, so I can get some things squared away. And being that I didn't get Robert Cray in like I wanted to today, we're gonna go back to something we heard a little earlier in the week, or was it late on last week? Anyway, either or, we got some music for you, man. Mo Bella Blues, went to Marcellus and his crew. All right, so I'll be back with y'all in a little bit. See ya. All right, man. All right. That is. That is. Mo Better Blues. I went to Marcellus. Hey, man, I'm telling you, man, I love that little groove right there. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, that's kind of, it kind of gets me in a good mood a little bit. You know, mellows me out, which I need to mellow a little bit right about now. But it's all good in the neighborhood. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Man. Okay. Who did I miss joining us today? We got You Sure Are Crazy Than Joining Us. Hey, 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 hey. Then we got the Mr. Intellectual himself, H2O in the house. Oh, oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I read that. I read that. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Well, big news coming out. Big news, big news, big news. Shinsisky resigns amid veterans' health care issues. Oh, wait a minute. Hold up. My bad. My bad. Let me back up. Let me back up. All right. Y'all want to be a part of the show today? 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Hey, get on them lines. We talking veterans today. The issues that's going on within Veterans All right, Veterans Administration and the health system and all that good stuff. And because there's some shady stuff going on, and I don't think a lot of people are really understanding what's really happening here. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And we got Cloud Nation in the house with me, my co-host. And I'm really the see what he's got to say. And, of course, we got Joe on the line. And let me bring in the third part of the group, Mr. Beasley himself. Good afternoon, Mr. Beasley. How you doing today?
I'm cool. I'm good. Gentlemen, happy Friday. Feel good.
Well,
happy Friday to you.
All right.
All right. So there it is. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Where's Joe?
He's probably fixing his mic. He's there. He's listening.
Okay.
He's listening. All right. So here it is, man. Shinsisky. I always mess up that man's name. Even when I was in the Army, I messed up his name. It don't matter. He all right. Shinsisky resigns amid veterans' health care issues. All right. So today, after all this just riding his back and saying he should retire, he should resign, and putting everything on him because of Arizona's problem, of course, this health care problem within the VA for veterans stems way more than just Arizona, you know. But I guess it just hit the fan when this little secret list came out, supposedly. Now, it's interesting how, you know, these same individuals that's running their mouth and insisting that this man be fired from his job and others be fired from their job are not really telling the truth. That's all I'm going to say. They're not telling the truth. And as you are aware, you know, I try and bring both sides of the story, you know. So on the top of it, it seems like, okay, General Shinsisky didn't do his job, so yeah, he should be fired, and everybody else that was involved in this thing should be fired. That's plain. That's just cut and dry, right? It just sounds like it's just cut and dry on that. But let me tell y'all something. This thing is not what it seems. All right, and here's why. Those same individuals that's yelling and insisting and eventually caused this man to resign has had a lot to do with the problems that the VA is already having or has been having. And this is what I'm talking about. 41, y'all listen to what I'm saying, 41 Republican senators, all right, blocked in February, y'all, blocked a veterans health bill that was supposed to pass that would have kind of alleviate some of some of these problems they had by pushing more money into the system. Y'all say, well, that's not nothing big. Well, it is when you really think about this thing, being that you have veterans waiting extra amount of time trying to see doctors. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes I wonder how long, you know, sometimes it's quicker for me to go out and get outside care than to wait on the VA system. You know, so I'm a witness sometimes to list all along. But, you know, for these cats these Senate Republicans to be just crying about it, and then, you know, hiding their hand. I mean, let's get this. Let me look at this. All right. Arizona. Who's over Arizona? Y'all know that old man that's always got his mouth open. Y'all know who I'm talking about. What's that old man name out there in Arizona?
You're talking about Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He's just the sheriff of Maricopa County.
No. Not him. The guy that was a prisoner. You know who I'm talking about.
The guy with the prisoner? You got to give me a little bit more information than that.
Arizona. You know who I'm talking about. The senator. The Republican senator. He's always out there. You know what I'm talking about.
John McCain is a senator.
John McCain. John McCain. Both these guys are out here in Texas. Anyway, I had all my notes here. I just got them all confused. But the Texas senators, and it makes no sense. And you want to know why they blocked this whole thing from, because a lot of this could have been taken care of in the works already. But one of the reasons they blocked this thing, because they wanted a bill attached to this thing that would have had sanctions against Iran, and the president wasn't going for that. So they was trying to sneak something in under the door on that one. Why would you? And then here's another thing, something else crazy. They said if this bill would have passed, we would have been spending money we didn't already have. Let's really look at this thing. We just spent on a whole bunch of money on two wars that we never had, but yet you can't take care of your veterans because you want to put something else up in the bill up under it, and we got caught. That's what I'm saying. Shinseski, they used him as a scapegoat, but I think we should go, and I was trying to find the vote, y'all. I really was, but I couldn't find them in time for the show. But you should go. If you have a congressman that voted against this bill in February, all right, to have the veterans taken care of, health care bettered a little bit, you should consider getting that joke out of office, man. I'm not going to lie to you, because it's ridiculous. And then they're going to come around some months later and then raise sand. The same ones that voted against it are the same ones that are up in arms about everything. Boehner on television today talking about, well, this changes nothing. Of course it changes nothing, because you got your hands in it too. This is the kind of hogwash is why the system is so jacked up now. And it's not going to get any better. It's really not, unless these same individuals that's acting, throwing rocks and hiding their hand be held accountable for it. That's my take on it, and I really truly do believe that. But I'm opening up the floor. Hey, what y'all got to say about it? That's the way I'm feeling right now. It's Freedom Friday. Let's talk.
I just pulled up an article from the Washington Post. I can't believe I'm even mentioning the Washington Post, but just for the purpose of this discussion, and it has an article entitled "How the VA Developed Its Culture of Cover-ups." It says, "Once a bureaucratic success story, the agency began to hide its problems from those in Washington." And it's interesting because in the beginning, they actually start off with one of the clinics that's in Austin. Is just one that they start off with, and Brian, talking about Brian Turner and the fact that he, as a scheduling clerk, learned how to, as they say, cook the books. So it's long, so I'm not going to try to read the whole article, but I think it's a pretty interesting take on VA cover ups as a whole.
And you know what? That's that's a heck of a term right there. Cook the books. You know what I mean? Well, that says a whole lot there. But cook the books. Oh my goodness.
This general Krzyzewski, I'm looking at him right now. I knew that he was high up because I think he was in the Iraqi war and the other wars. He's a 4-star general. You don't see too many of them, even when you're in the service. That's like seeing a bald eagle or something. Everybody stops when he walks in the room, right?
Well, yeah.
He's got some juice. That's I mean, he obviously is the fall guy for this scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it like a man. And if you listen to the president speak, man, he's a slick double talker, man. Because I actually listen to people when they talk. And I've listened to him, you know, he talked about what a great job that the man did and, you know, helping veterans and this and that and the other. But yet he was resigning. And then he went on and read at least a paragraph, you know, patting Krzyzewski on the back.
Well, you know what, and I'm going to put it this way. You know, here's the thing about that, Beasley. You know, I think he has been, okay, you know, since we're pushing, I think the president has realized, and Krzyzewski realized, this is a systematic problem here. So instead of, you know, keep having the focus put on him, you know, okay, let's go on. I mean, he's a four-star general, so he's going to get his regardless. You see what I'm saying? So go on,
right.
Step out. You know, let's get the spotlight off you and put the spotlight on where it belongs, the actual problems of the individuals that's holding this thing up. Now, we have Senator Richard M. Burr, and here was one of his statements as far as that bill, which is S.182. It says, with $17 trillion in debt and massive annual deficits, our country faces a fiscal crisis of unparalleled scope. Now is not the time in any federal department to spend money we don't have. To be sure, there's much to like in the Sanders bill, and if those components were presented as separate, smaller bills as part of a carefully considered long-term strategy to reform the VA, hold leadership accountable, and improve services to veterans, we would have no problem extending enthusiastic support. All right. Also, Republicans called for sanctions on Iran to be included within the veterans bill, and since it wasn't included within the bill, they voted against the landmark legislation. Okay, and stated by Republican leader Mitch McConnell regarding the Iran sanctions, there is no excuse for muzzling the Congress on an issue of this importance to our own national security. So basically what they are doing is using the veterans as a scapegoat to get sanctions up against Iran, and that is not the way it should be, and that is just appalling. You know, and now, as they say, the roosters have come home to roost, and nobody really wants to take credit for it. You know, everybody wants to point the finger, and it just should not be that way.
Oh, man, I just came across something interesting, too. It says that for decades, the VA was a byword for bureaucracy itself, seen as Washington's ultimate paper-pushing, mind-bending hierarchy, that reputation mm-hmm. was rooted in the VA's history. It came about because the agency's first leader was an audacious crook. It says that Charles Forbes was chosen to head the Veterans Bureau by his poker buddy, President Warren G. Harding, in 1921. It says he was a poor choice. Forbes took kickbacks. He sold off federal supplies. He wildly misspent taxpayer money, once buying a 100-year supply of floor wax, enough to polish a floor the size of Indiana, for 25 times the regular price, apparently as a favor to a floor wax company. And it says that eventually Forbes was caught. The president was unhappy, and in 1923, a White House visitor opened the wrong door and found Harding choking Forbes with his bare hands.
Sounds like good retribution to me.
Wow. Well, that goes to show. This has been going on a long time. Hold on, I got somebody else on the line. I'm sorry. Did somebody else have something to say?
Yeah, I want to know if you guys also knew about the World War I veterans boycott.
Go what?
I did not. Veterans left.
Yeah, the veterans that came out of the war, they were promised certain benefits. The benefits were being cut off, and they marched on Washington, and they came with their guns, and that crowd had to be dispersed by the National Guard.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it goes back a long way.
Yeah, I mean, and that was kind of related to this right here. So, yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let me bring this caller in right here. Let's see, area code 214. Who do I have on the line?
Texas.
Hello, Mr. Talking Joe and Beasley and Cloud. Pat.
Hello, how you doing? We're doing fine.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
I haven't heard your voice on the radio for a while, but who knows? In the future, we might have a surprise.
Yeah, we just might. We just tease them today, Joe.
Okay.
All righty then.
I tell you guys, I have a lot of comments to say about what's happened with the VA. Last year on Perry's show, I talked about these wait times. I do volunteer work for a veterans organization in the town where I live, and I've known about the waiting list for over a year now, and I found it shocking then. Look, this general who was in charge of the VA, these guys who are appointed in these leadership positions with the VA, these heads of these regional offices, these heads of these hospitals, they're all favored people. They're all connected people. And they're there for one thing, and that's just to keep the bureaucracy going. It operates like a mafia. They have these cushy deals with the drug companies to push off the old drugs on the veterans. And, you know, you cannot get certain drugs. If the drug the doctor wants you to have is not on the formulary, you don't get it. And let me tell you what the Obama administration has done. While, yeah, of course, the backlog is a big disgrace. It's a national disgrace having that huge backlog for veterans filing for their disability claims. But what they've done is they have nickeled and dimed and cut different benefits with the VA. And I'll give you one example. It's like with prescription glasses. If you need bifocals, yeah, they'll give you a free pair of glasses every 2 years. But the bifocal they put in there is I got a pair of those glasses from the VA. The bifocal part of the lens was only like half an inch wide at the bottom of the glass. And in order to get the bifocals that I needed, I had to pay $159 for them. Now, I'm entitled to a free pair of glasses every 2 years if I need them and the doctor says I should have them. Now, I will give this to the VA. When I needed my eye appointment, they could not schedule it within the allotted amount of time, so I was able to go to my regular I call them civilian, you know, private practice doctors, and get the eyeglasses. But when I needed sonogram for a health issue I was having that would determine whether or not I had cancer, I mean, it was very upsetting. In order for me to get that scan, which I needed immediately, if I'd waited for the VA, I would have had to have waited 2 months to get it. So I went ahead and went to a private organization that day that, you know, a radiological business that does that, and got the scan that day because I didn't want to wait 2 months to know if I had cancer or not. It turned out I didn't, luckily. But if I had waited 2 months, that would have been
2 months of mental anguish, yeah.
Oh, it was mental anguish just that day, and until, you know, it was 2 days later before I got any results. And you think that this scandal is just, you know, what you're reading. It's far more pervasive than what we can even imagine. Another issue is women's health needs. The VA is geared more toward male veteran, not the female veteran. The female veteran has to, like up at the Temple VA, there's only one GYN doctor. That's it. And in Austin, we just got a part-time GYN doctor, and they can perform no surgery down here. Although Austin got there was a clinic built down here, and it's the best in the country, and it is like a small hospital. It's a really great clinic. But the doctors are constantly working against these restraints put in place by the administrators within the VA. If these doctors could actually be in administrative positions and run the VA, I think it would be a lot better. That's where it would come from. So, but I just want to get back to Obama and Kaczynski. Is that how you pronounce that? Mm-hmm. It's all bullshit. They've known this stuff. They've been cutting the VA right and left for the past since under this administration. And, you know, that's basically all I want to say. I think the scandal is going to get far bigger.
Oh, yeah, Obama's got it. It's going to do nothing. And I have a document, which I talked about on your show before, Eric, a couple of days ago, when we were talking about the vets from 2001, in which the IG or the GAO, I forget which agency now, had reported back in 2001 that these waiting times were way out of bounds.
They're horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know what it is. I mean, people should be really outraged the way the VA pushes those psychotropic drugs. I mean, if you go in, I mean, it's like about everything, though. If you go in with, like, I hurt my knee. I ride a bike, and I had kind of like a little crash, and I hurt my knee really bad. They gave me a 30-day supply of Vicodin. You know, I'd never taken Vicodin in my life, so I started taking Vicodin.
Mm-hmm.
And each day you look forward to taking that Vicodin because it makes you feel so much better, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas I had to wean myself off of it and just take ibuprofen, you know?
Yeah, but Vicodin is that hydrocodone, isn't it?
No.
No?
Hydrocodone, those are called Norcos. Oh, just take a couple of Vicodin and have a margarita or two. Don't drive anywhere, though. You'll be all right.
Mm. You know, ibuprofen, brand new, might work, but I've had
pain pills.
Yeah, yeah. But the hydrocodone, that's what's prescribed to me when I've had my toothaches, and it's worked pretty well.
Norcos.
Mm. Yeah, but I bet you didn't get 30. And then they send you 30 more in the mail, and the next month they send you 30 more in the mail.
No, I got non-refillable prescriptions.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying, being that you were in Austin. And, you know, fortunately, I go to the one down here in Temple, and, you know, it has gotten better. I got to admit it has gotten better. But when it comes to the glasses, I know anytime I have to have mine renewed, you know, I usually have an option, especially if it comes to the bifocals. I can get the whole glass, you know, to where they're just reading, or I just get the little piece as you mentioned. Or, you know, I can go to outside a civilian agency and have that done, you know. But as you say, you know, sometimes that's just really time-consuming and not worth the effort, period. And, I guess a lot of times it depends on the region you're in. But, yes, the problem is systematic, I think, systemic, as the intelligent folks say. You know, mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's easier to say, well, my VA does this and my VA does that. But I think, as Kat mentioned, sometimes you have to go a little bit deeper. Well, we need to go a little bit deeper with this because it's more going on. Like the Atlanta regional VA, you know, for a long time, that has been considered one of the worst ones, if not the worst VA system, you know, VA hospital in the nation, you know, which, you know, that's one of the things you don't hear a lot about, you know. So, but I think in order to make it better, you know, you have these individuals such as John Cronin and Cruz right here in Texas, you know, that have, you know, that's right here by Fort Hood and a couple of other posts. And they're voting against taking care of the veterans, but yet they're standing out here in public and say, well, I'm for the veteran and I do this for the veteran. But if you look at the voting records, you know, it doesn't say that. So who should be really held responsible? Because either way you look at it, the veterans and their spouses are the ones that's being affected the most with this. Okay, that's just the way I'm thinking right now, and that's my opinion, of course. You know, but let me bring Maze in and get her 2 cents on this. I'm sorry, before I bring Maze in, anybody else wanted to comment on what I said or what Kat said?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that if there's anything that the government should be spending money on, and I'm not one for the spending of money by the government, but there should be a provision in the Constitution that provides for veterans. if it's not for the veterans, then who should it be for? We're the ones that protect the nation, okay? We're the ones. We're the ones that should be given the most appreciation and gratitude of all the people in the nation. So, okay, Maze can come on in now. I know she's going to say something to me.
May I say just one more thing? I just would like to say that the doctors I've had at the VA have given me excellent care. I couldn't have asked for a better, you know, a better team of doctors that have helped me through some things that I've had, you know, minor surgeries I've had to have needed. You know, it's a part of the aging process, like, you know, carpal tunnel surgery and a couple other things. They have been excellent. So the doctors I have no problems with.
I hear you guys speaking about your medical ailments and your glasses. What concerns me is all of the people that are coming back that need some very serious therapy and counseling because they're suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. And, you know, a lot of people can be walking time bombs, you know, completely stressed out with having some real serious issues. And if they're not allowed, you know, even if you help some of those people and they get therapy and they get help, they still may act out. But if you have people that are going to be waiting months on edge, and they're really on edge, and their lunch isn't packed too tight, it's dangerous for the rest of society.
And you know what?
How do you know we don't have PTSD, Beasley?
well, before we get, you know, I want to respond to that. And, you know, Beasley, you bring up a very good point. And, you know, I had an outstanding therapist. I mean, my therapist was the bomb, you know, and I loved her to death. But within the VA system itself, there's internal battles that go on also. You know, number one, you know, as far as therapists, they have a hard time keeping therapists because in a lot of instances, you know, they handcuff, as Kat said earlier, they handcuff their doctors sometimes. To where the doctor would like to do a lot more, but can't because of the unnecessary regulations. And then you have those that's in the same department that, how can I say, just downright
obnoxious and indifferent.
Yeah, don't really care. Good mm-hmm. way, Joe. Just doesn't care and fights anyone else that tries, you know, do a little bit more than, you know, more than what what the VA calls for them to do. Then go outside of what's needed to make sure that all veterans are getting the care that they need. And they lose a lot of good doctors that way. And a lot of times that's the issue also. Now, Beasley brought up a good point. And Beasley, what we have to understand, though, before it gets to the VA, you know, a lot of cases, it has to start within why these individuals are still on active duty or in reserve. And here's the reason why. Because once they get out of the military, a lot of times it's too late, you know. And it has become more, you know, the military has become more aware. But once again, you back to that same old issue is resources, doctors, and you know, when you're on active duty, there's still a stigma that's attached to going to see any type of mental doctor. Because, you know, you still have to go back to your unit and you worry about that. Even though they say, well, no, nothing will happen to you, you know, there's still that stigma that's underneath, you know, that underneath stigma that still is there that, you know, would be used against you in the wrong situation. You know, especially now. But especially now since they're working on the drawdown, you know, the drawdown they're working on.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the main things they're putting a lot of soldiers out for now. You know, they're not even trying to give them help. They just sit putting them on the street. If you get your help, you get your help. If not, so like I said, it's thematic. And you know, we looking at the VA, but sometimes we have to point back into the you know, active duty.
The active duty type of restrictions. Yeah.
And then get all that taken care of first. So it's like, you know, we have to look at the whole picture. You know, everybody wanted to point at the VA, which, you know, but it's more to it than that. But let me get
it's only a matter of time for some of these guys that are coming back or that have been back that have issues.
Right.
It's only a matter of time before they start acting out. Yep. I've experienced Vietnam vets. You know, I've worked in offices with Vietnam vets, and when sometimes things wouldn't go their way about something, they go to drastic measures. I've been in the office where the guy, the boss was, whatever, screwing him around or was going to pay him Monday instead of Friday or something like that. And he held him and barricaded in the office. The police had to come. I mean, I've seen them do all kinds of things. And I'm leery of those guys. I've seen a number of instances where Vietnam vets, like, would just say, screw it, and just go completely nutty. Now, they had some pressure. It was some pressure. But, yeah, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Them time bombs.
Yeah, very much so. All right, let me bring Maze in. She's been waiting patiently, and I do appreciate that. All right. Let's see. Hello, Maze. How you doing? I appreciate you waiting patiently.
Oh, I will see. Talking about the VA and the DAV, some people hate. I mean, is it a hate because of the VA or is it because of the system? Because the system has been like this for years and years and years. You got people from Vietnam still trying to get benefits. And you got some people sitting up in those offices that have been there years and years and years and years, holding up progress and messing up progress. So is it about the paperwork, or was it really about the man's job?
Well, it's like what Eric said, it is systemic. It's throughout the whole military.
So why don't we just get this sorry Congress that we have and have them give the veterans what they promised them when they went to serve?
Well, that's a really good idea.
And so we don't want to talk about the administration. We're talking about the VA, not the administration, because it was already messed up. And somebody was in there trying to change it to make it better because he did make it better. For some
made what better?
You look at the DAV, you can look it up, and look it up. It'll tell you everything that's been done. It's all on the computer. For those that don't know anything about the military and the vets and all that, look it up. It's in there. That's all I can say.
If it got better, Maze, why do they have this crisis? Why are these people in
Phoenix? Crisis is not at every VA. That's what I'm saying. So if it was a crisis,
yes,
it is. No, it's not. It's in the ones in the South. And then the politician that you saw out screaming, it's in their states with all of this stuff. Not all of the VAs are not messed up. Some of them ran perfectly.
Not every single one, but the CBO report says it's pervasive throughout the vast majority
of
the VAs.
Why are some run perfect and some not? Because everybody in every state don't get treated right in the VA.
Probably the administrator and the bureaucracy in a certain area.
And those heads in the VA are the ones that need to be gone.
Some people were on top of their job, and obviously some people weren't.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is the fall guy, Shiseki, but he probably wasn't paying too much attention to his job. He's a 71-year-old four-star general who's on boards of directors of different companies. Who's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations? He probably wasn't doing too much.
That's what I'm saying.
But when
we hear people screaming and hollering, it's this and this is that. It's the administrators that's been there, pissing people off. That's veterans that's working in the VA that know what they're doing, and you got some sitting up at the top. All they're doing is pissing people off, having them frustrated and all kinds of stuff because they won't do right. That's where the book starts.
It's been endemic ever since World
War
I.
But if we don't clean those out, I don't care who comes in the next place, it's going to still be the same with those people. And that sorry Congress that's up there, that's not really for the veterans anyway. Not really. Because they haven't voted on nothing to help the veterans.
Well,
now we
I
have
mean,
homeless place. We have homes for the veterans, for homeless veterans now in certain states.
Well,
so
Maze,
there you go.
Maze,
look it up. You will see it. Those
Maze,
are the changes
Maze,
that came about.
Maze.
And he's a vet himself.
Maze, I think that's what I've said earlier, you know.
Well, I you know, when you first came on, so.
It's 41 senators that actually voted against this bill that would have helped fund it, you know, the VA health issues, and they voted against it. Now, and I always said, you know, you need to find out who did it and get their behinds out of office. And you're right. There's some jokers that have been up there working in the VA forever, and as long as, you know, they're still up there, you know, they just using space. They're not trying to help anybody. You know, they're just working on their pension right now. And as long as that keeps going, the system will always be jacked up. I don't care what administration you have. You know that's like somebody say on the show all the time, you know, what's insanity? Keep doing the same thing over and over again. And basically the only thing you're doing is changing the head but keeping the body in place, which means you're going through the whole thing over again, just a new head, which is really solving anything. But hold on. Go ahead real fast. Go ahead real fast.
Mr. Talk, can I finish?
That's it. Go ahead.
He had have his foot amputated from Vietnam. He's a veteran, a true veteran. He was there for the heart of the people. McCain, I don't know why he's there, and he gets 100%. You ever see him standing up, to do anything to benefit the veterans since he's been there? He 80-something years old, and what has he done? Show me on the record.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. And he was one of the senators who voted against this thing in February. So, and that's my point exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
but you want to scream and holler about something else that ain't got nothing to do with it.
What it sounds like is that the people that voted against the bill are trying to influence policy with the administration. The administration, they're in talks with Iran.
Thank you. That's it.
They're in secret talks, you know, nuclear talks, and I guess there's people that want to derail that. There's people that feel very strongly.
But what I was wondering is when they talked about the Agent Orange, they said that it wasn't there, it wasn't true, and it didn't happen, and all of a sudden they came out, it was Agent Orange. They fought it. Congress is up there fighting against
people. Well, you're preaching to the choir, man.
What I want Congress to do next week is come to Congress and set a bill to take care of all of the veterans that went and served for this country.
Well, Maze,
that's what I would like to see them do.
Maze.
Whatever they need is what they should get.
Maze,
what they were promised.
They'll probably do something now that it's gotten all this attention.
Well, see, no, they won't. See, and
no,
here,
no,
listen,
no.
Listen. See, this is what happened. And like I said, with this bill in February, it was there. All the good stuff was there for the veterans. But on the underside of it, they was trying to pass another bill attached to it in relation to Iran, which meant, they were so-called looking out for the veterans, but as Beasley say, they were doing a little political sidestep to get some other stuff passed to make, to make some money, basically, and deal with Iran. But
they're trying to control policy.
Excuse me, Beasley. Bernie Sanders is going to bring that same bill back to the floor again that they pushed to the side. He's going to bring it back to the floor, and I wonder how many of them are going to vote on it. They're going to stick something else stupid inside like they always do, so it won't pass.
So you have to understand also, this is an election year for them. So, they really going to play this game a little bit now, and I think that's going to cloud it up a little bit more. But hold on, I got two more callers who want to come in here. So let me bring Michael and Mr. Lowe in, and we're going to start with Michael. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
How you doing?
We're doing wonderful. Thank you.
To all the guests, to all the veterans, one veteran to another, and to non-veterans, all your civilians. Wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful, but I like what I'm hearing, and it says about a lot of people is talking about that voting does not count and voting is a fraud and the voting system they don't vote. But I like what you're hearing today. Mr. Talk said vote their asses out, meaning that the people has the power. Meaning that if we are aware of some things that these senators are voting, remember we're watching their voting records. And we're just saying, hey, as you're a voter, you see their voting record, especially as a veteran, you should take this in mind in Arizona. This is being politics. This is being political. Now, it is a total disgrace, but unfortunately, this is how politics works. It's like chess. It's like, look, give and take. I want you to sign a bill. If you want me to do something for you, you got to do something for me. They're playing politics, unfortunately, with this Iran stuff. They're just saying, well, we're giving money to the enemy. We should just give that money to our soldiers. Trying to play politics, getting bills passed. This is how it works. I think Beasley, he watched the House of Cards. It's easy. But, see, we have to be aware of this. Us veterans, knowing this, we can be political. And like I said, watch your senators voting on certain issues. You can't keep up with certain issues. If a voter wants to just have their issue while they want to kick somebody out or vote somebody in, let that be their, issue. But, yes, I agree. We must kick them out. But playing this politics with Iran, it's unfortunate. And I think, they just trying to pin the veterans against another country, I guess the enemy, saying why the government is supporting the enemy when that money should be going to the veterans. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And besides that, they should already have money allotted out Many, you know, they have like about, I think about 100, 120 certain type of veterans, I think counselors or administrators or claim representatives around the nation. They need more than that. They're funding the IRS. They're hiring more IRS employees for this health care. 15,000 new IRS employees, federal government agents. Where are you going to hire new veteran administrators or claim representatives so you can get the claim processing quicker? What are you going to do? Are you going to hire new technology people so they can try to fix the system so they can do more? So they can computerize the system instead of, you know, going with these paperworks and, you know, paperworks and medical records and things of that nature. Computerize everything, digitalize everything to make, you know, the process quicker. As far as the doctor's visits and, you know, examinations and everything, when you go out outside the VA, you got to make sure that hospital that's not in the VA system, when you have your treatment, it should come to the VA quicker. It shouldn't wait months to get records from another hospital and things of that nature. So there's things that we as veterans can definitely do, but voting is one of them. That's all I have to say so far.
All right. Say to Beasley, Bees, I watched the House of Cards on a marathon weekend. It's
wasn't that good?
It's good, and Spacey surprised the hell out of me. He was very good.
Okay. All right. Mr. Lowe, are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
Shalom.
Well, to the other caller that says, oh, voting changes things and all this and all that, ask Cynthia McKinley if that's true, because she wanted to change a whole lot of things. You go there with all these ideas and say, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And once you get in the system and you realize, hey, you're either going to...
What happened to Lowe?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, while we wait for him to get back.
I like your opinion.
So it's like it's another
point.
Hello? Hello? Can no one hear me?
Uh-oh. Oh,
we can hear you now. We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. All I was saying is the thing is this. To the other caller that says all this voting changes things and everything, ask Cynthia McKinley if that's true. Because, she figured that she was going to leave Georgia and go up to Washington and change things, and she found out, hey, either you're going to be a part of our system or you'll be outside of our system complaining about our system, and we'll still be here. So all that voting and marching and all of this humbug, it's for nothing. And you're talking to somebody that because of two dates on my DD-214, I have to wait at least 18 months before I find out if the people at the VA are going to ever say, oh, yeah, he was in combat. Now, as far as the paperwork, I'm so happy that they have things on paper, because in the system, all you got to do is go in and press a button, and it's done. It never happened. So if you give me a copy, and I walk out of there and everybody's happy and hunky-dory, then it doesn't matter what you change in your system. So like I said...
What are you talking
about? Don't answer me, because I'm not talking to you. The thing is this. Like the fact that there are still some people that believe in, hey, we need paperwork behind all this stuff. You putting all this stuff in the computer and I'm just supposed to say, oh, yeah, well, they're going to have it because I saw somebody type something in the computer. That's nothing. They could have been typing their name while you were sitting there on the other side of that screen. So I say this to say that.
Oh, my goodness.
With all of this technology that they're going forward with, always remember there's a way for them to deviate from that technology. Oh, no, that never happened. And like I say, you're talking to somebody that's been waiting for over a year for these people to change two dates on my DD-214. Two dates.
Well, have you been to the DAV too, or you just went to one place?
I went, I went to the VA and I went to the VA and I called the people up in Washington. I called the people at 180th Trans Battalion where my headquarters was at, and they said that, hey, we don't have anything past 5 years ago, so we shredded all that information.
First of all,
no, they don't answer it.
May I respond to him real quick?
Like I said, you don't have to respond to anything.
Because he repeated everything that I said. Well, I just said because you gave an opposing argument to every.
Okay, go ahead and finish, Lowe. Then we'll let Michael finish, all right? I don't know why he keeps going here. Oh, well, Lowe hung up. Oh, man, boy, I tell you.
You ever going to learn how to do this right?
They can't get along to save their life. I don't know what's up with them. But go ahead,
Michael. They can't get along over here.
I don't know. Go ahead. Go ahead on, Michael. Go on with your rebuttal.
Well, first of all, Mr. Talk, he can't blame it on me because if you play the archives back, Mace was interrupting him going back on before I said anything. First of all, he opposed everything that I said. No, I just want to say that he opposed everything that I said. Now, first of all, unfortunately, though, everyone as a soldier knows that when you get out of the Army, your DD-214 that they give you, you're supposed to hang that up like a degree. What you lose it for? Okay.
Wait a minute, Mace. Hold on, Mace. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on, Mace.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish, Michael.
No, I guess you cut me off because they want me to get excited. I guess they're trying to clown me. But no, it's not going to happen, Mace. But listen, Lowe has to remember that he should always have his DD-214 when he came out the military. Now, they're going to go and computerize the system. On your DD-214, it clearly says whether you have been in combat or not. Right, but now he's saying that there's consequences of going to the digital systems. I see there's a lot of pros of digitizing everything. Because if you lose a copy, you can go there and, you know, get copies on a CD. They have it. But the reason why they digitize stuff, because a lot of paperwork, right, was just getting lost. People would actually take the original paperwork and throw it in the trash. What's the difference of them throwing it in the shredder? So, I haven't had any problems. I mean, what he's saying is a change. If veterans, if that's happening, I think he should talk to a senator. I think he should say if something he's trying to say that he saying he has no combat on his DD-214, and factually he went to combat, and that's changed it because he's been on digital systems. No, that's a scandal. We have to make sure that's not going to happen. That's crazy. And I'm saying they always have some type of paper trail. When you get your DD-214, it's two copies. They give you one copy, and the Army has one, and they store that. When they digitized everything, they took the Army's copy and digitized it, right?
Can I say this before I forget?
It is what it is.
Okay,
I have
thank
some information for Lowe.
And I want
to
say...
He can go to the Freedom of Information Act and find everything he's ever done, they will have it to him within a month.
I know what he's talking about. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Why are y'all fighting? Why is this a fight? It turns into a fight.
I say the same thing. I'm not really understanding this. Look, you know, as far as May says, you know, freedom of act. Okay, let me put this out here. You know, Michael, I understand what you're saying about DD-214, but let me kind of shed a little light on this thing. You know, there are some deployments, okay, to certain parts of the area of the world that will not be on your DD-214. You know, and in order for you to go back and get it, depending on how long the unit has been around, you know, they're only allowed to hold it for so long. Now, once you're out, it takes an act of Congress, basically, to find out, because you're the one who has to do the legwork. You're the one who has to work to find this stuff again. They're not going to give you any way to help. They're not going to try and help you anyway, unless you just find someone that's really want to stick their hand out there to try and help you. Of course, you know, everybody think, well, it's right here. No, it's not that simple. I wish it was, and that's because of the red tape and the bureaucracy that you have to go through. You know, it's a shame, but that's true. Now, as far as the unit Lowe was in, I can tell you they no longer are there. So that makes it even harder now, because you have to find someone that was in that unit to tell you, to try and help you get the information that you need. So there's always more to it than just what's put out there on top. I just wanted to let you know that. But I'm on y'all mics, and I think Kat wanted to say something. Kat, you had something you wanted to say?
Well, I just wanted to talk about there's a misconception that the VA is free. And for people who are, depending on their percentage of disability, it is free. But if you have...
I pay for my medication.
Okay, I hadn't finished, Michael. I know you have a show. We're going to have another show, and you can talk all you want.
Just so you don't say what you got to say.
Hush, y'all.
Oh,
the
VA,
even if you have a disability rating, the VA does ask you if you have other medical insurance. We have other medical insurance. The VA bills our medical for at the rate of Medicare. So, and then people who don't have disabilities have co-pays, and they pay for medicine, which I'm not saying anything that most people on this line don't know, but I just want to say to people who aren't aware of how the VA operates that the VA isn't free for everybody, and they do bill your insurance company if you have medical insurance, no matter who you are. That's all I wanted to say.
All righty then. Well, thank you much. All right, Michael. Go ahead.
For every deployment you go on, you get a medal. And before you leave that land, they give you a medal. And if they can go back in 1865 and talk about troops fought on this day, I'm letting you know, if they got rid of a unit that Lowe was in, it's a time, place, and date where they got rid of it. So that means it did exist. And it has a battle, and it has truth, and it has records of it. And I'm just saying, if he has that problem, there's a process, there's a ways to do it. What I'm saying is, to make it quicker, we need to speed up this process. People need to get their money. And I'm saying, use this technology and to make things quicker. Now, people always say, like, the voting system. Now, he's saying it's a big conspiracy where people going in and change stuff and stuff like that. No, they scan paperwork to stay in the original, where you have your signature on it. Everything is scanned, so, I mean, I don't understand what he's saying. But if that's the problem, that's something that we can, try to look into.
Well, Michael, that sounds good in theory, but what you have to realize is everything is handled by humans, okay, and then you have this thing called human error, you know, and whether you can find the unit or not, you still have to find out where your information is. How can you access this information? You know, it sounds a whole lot easier when you're on the other side, but, you know, once a unit cases its colors permanently, you know, everybody is scattered. So, you know, whether you retire, you ETS, now you got to find out. You have to find out where your records are.
You can go in there and take them a picture. I got many pictures of me and my buddies over there and all that type of shit, bro. I mean, what
evidence?
What more evidence you need? I know if a soldier's been over to a war, I'm guarantee you he can prove that self. I mean, he can prove it. He got a Social Security number. He can prove time, date, and place.
Well,
in the unit
that
they're
having problems?
Okay.
Because they don't know that's why they're having problems. Because you don't know where to go. If you knew where to go,
right,
you wouldn't have no problem. If you file a Freedom of Information Act and you can get your records everywhere you've been and everything you've done, and the time you walked in that door going in and enlisting, or if you, whatever way you went in there.
Okay. All right. You know,
but check it out. I'm telling you, I know for a fact,
Listen, if it was that easy, do you think we have so many issues that we have now within the VA? Do you think it'll be that
easy? I never thought that was an issue.
Everybody's not having a problem because they didn't know where to go.
I know the biggest issue as a veteran is time and process. And I say the technology should come and speed up the process. And they should fire that chief that they got. It's crazy. Why are you waiting?
Okay. You know what? I think we're circling the drain. Anybody else got any new stuff going on? Because for some reason, it's not getting to you. You can have all the technology you want, all of it you want. But if the system is flawed, as we have been saying, it doesn't really matter. You know, and let's go back a little bit. A couple of years ago when they had the so-called sequester, y'all remember that?
Yeah.
That didn't, we had the government shut down. That didn't help any either. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's more to it than just that. But in case of low, you know, I'm feeling low pain because there's a lot of deployments I made that's not on mine, and I'm still battling trying to get it. So all this great stuff y'all talk about, it just doesn't work that easy. It's not, I mean, if it was, oh, wow, everybody be hunky dunk. But it's not.
It's the people who don't have the problems who are telling people who do have the problems. But since they don't have the problems, they've never had to go through all the obstacles. So,
and it also depends on what time you exited the military. See, and once again, that's more to it also. You know, yeah, today's military is definitely more digitized compared to when I got out, when Lowe got out, when Vietnam vets got out. You know, so you have to take all that into consideration. But the bottom line is the problems are more than just this. They're systematic, and we need, and that's the problem that is causing this whole wide issue with the VA and why our veterans, my fellow veterans, are not getting taken care of the way they need to be. That's all I'm saying. So,
yeah,
can I ask a question?
I'm sorry.
How about this, Mr. Talk? This is my solution.
Hold up, Maze, and hold up, Michael. Hold on. Go ahead, Akeem.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, I just posted an article. I don't know if you guys read it already, but it was a link that shows a history of VA problems, and it goes all the way back from 1921, and it stops into today, in 2014. They have stuff as recent as the 30th of May on this particular list, and it's a pretty interesting list. That's why I decided to just post it real quick.
You don't have the correct.
This is my solution.
Wait, hold on. God dang, everybody will see, and this is what I'm talking about. You know, some of y'all are the first ones to claim that they won't let me talk, but you won't let anybody else talk. Hold on, I'll tell you when you can put your comment in, okay? Thank you. So go ahead, Kat. I think that's – go ahead.
Tell Cloud, that link doesn't work. I don't think you put the whole link in the room. You cut part of it off.
Okay. All right, now go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I'll try to resubmit it.
All right, well, forget about the problem. This is my solution with the technology now. Why don't you have a soldier is in the military and he's having problems, if he has injuries, if he's going through stuff, when he goes to sick call or if he's in medical treatment, let that military and that VA system computers be hooked up in combination with the paperwork, combination with that meaning. Like, for instance, if a doctor is seeing someone and they're annotating stuff in the computer while they're seeing the patient right there in the military, let that VA medical system, their records hook up to that. So when that soldier gets out 5 years later, his sick calls, what he's been through, is already computerized. They don't have to go into a big, of course, it's going to be a paperwork track. And every soldier needs to take his or her responsibility by making sure they get a copy of their records. Every time they go to sick call or every time they go to or get hospitalized, they get paperwork, documentation, your diagnosis. They give you that. We have to take responsibility and keep that. I mean, you have to have some responsibility too. But in the combination of that, back that up, because the paperwork must back up the computers, and the paperwork, you know, is filed because it has signatures, and then, you know, you can have a computerized signature when you sign prescriptions. They sign your prescriptions, digitize everything, have both sides as a veteran, but then when a veteran gets out, they don't have
that
to
sounds
go
like a good idea.
Working, well, they can go and say, look, right on the computer, we can see a sick call from 5 years ago, digitized, blase this. We can click here, do that, blase this. Hook up the military hospitals up with the VA system hospitals. So you won't have to worry about that. But veterans need to take responsibility. Keep your paperwork. And I'm just saying, your DD-14, when they give you that, and when you agree to sign for that, this is what you do. You hang that up like a degree. That's all. I'm done.
That sounds like a real good idea. Why don't you submit that through the channels, or why don't you write that down and put it in a proposal and give it to your congressman,
right,
or email it to the president, or through the political process.
Wait a minute, hold on.
You sound like,
wait a minute. They don't even have computers hooked up to the different hospitals on active duty. So now what you're trying to say? See, and once again, that sounds good.
No.
There's logistical issues with that.
Hold on. Listen, I'm in IT. Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
Hold on. Wait a minute. All right, stop right there. That sounds good, Mike, but you know, the logistical part of it is kind of hard, but then you want to add, more caseload, you know, so now you got computers hooked up with the VA, right, from active duty. All right. And so now active duty soldiers are allowed to go to the VA now for certain things. So now instead of on top of our veterans, right, we got active duty soldiers getting appointments at the VA also, which is going to and make the waiting times even longer, if that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not. Hold up. Let me talk as a veteran. Be quiet, Mr. Charles. First of all, let's use Fort Hood as an example.
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah, here we go.
You know,
right.
Okay. Can I speak now?
You know, Michael.
Can I speak now?
Michael, you know what?
Wait a minute, hold on.
You should do like what Beasley said. Submit your freaking proposal to Congress, okay? Because we don't have anything to do about it.
Yeah, go ahead, Mays.
As I was wondering, if people are looking for, if they're going to different places, are they looking for new places that they don't know anything about to go and try to see if they can find what they're looking for? And that's what I was just trying to tell him. To file a Freedom of Information Act, and he could find all his records, everything he's ever done, because it's been done before. I know for a fact. My brother did it. My father-in-law did it. He served in Vietnam. So I'm quite sure that he did this before, long before Lowe and you were in the service.
Well,
and I also have an uncle that just did it. He was in World War II, and he just did it 2 weeks ago.
Go ahead.
All I was going to say, the thing about it, though, let's say you have an injury once you leave basic training and AIT and you get to your duty station. Let's say you twist your ankle and you're off for a few days. And, you know, you go back to work and you go on and you do all the things that the military requires. And you decide, hey, after 5 years, you want an ETS, you want to get out. And you go ahead and get out. And all of a sudden, you start to have problems from that injury. Now, those people are going to send you through hell and high water because the whole time you were in and you were exercising, and me and Mr. Talk were in units that looked down on going to sick call. You go to sick call and you miss out on some specific training or PT or any of that, you'll be on the crappy detail that they have tomorrow for everybody to do just because you wanted to miss out. We were in units like that. And so, hey, you eventually you learn to suck it up. Okay, my ankle's hurting me, so I already know what I have to look forward to if I don't go out there and play the game with the rest of them, so I'm just going to suck it up. Those were the units that we were in. And the thing is this, after you've been out 5, 7, 9, 10 years, and those problems start to show up from when you did hurt yourself. Now, you might have went to sick call that one time, and you might have gotten those 2 or 3 days off work, off duty for that situation. But the thing is this, the Veterans Administration is going to look and say, hey, you didn't complain about it enough when you were in the military. How do we know you didn't hurt yourself? We don't know, skydiving or something. You know, and these are just the situations that you run into. Now, I was telling somebody at the VA, it's a shame, but I was reading something maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It was a situation where I don't know what this person's name was. It was the bigwig from the VA said, hey, don't be so quick to diagnose the returning soldiers and Marine with PTSD. It's going to cost a lot of money. And somebody that was in the VA that was related to people in the military got
a hold of that email and they shot it forward and, oh, here comes the fire. So, oh, we don't support that and soldiers are first and all, you know, everything that they got to do. But even though they come out and say, hey, we don't support that idea, everything that they do is supporting that idea. You know, and that's just the way a lot of it goes. I mean, you can have all the information you want or need, but if they don't consider you to be service-connected, then you have nothing.
And that is a very true point. Go ahead, Michael. Your line is open. Go ahead, Michael. Michael? Okay, I guess he ran away. Maze, you got anything you want to add?
Yes, I was just going to tell Lowe all of his records and everything. Like, it's in St. Louis. Everybody's just in St. Louis. So if he filed the paper and it's something that he needs that he said he was waiting for, he can check it out to see if it worked. That's all I was just trying to tell him and give him some information.
The information
I never heard no one.
I called to St. Louis. Every number that they have on file,
You have to file the paperwork, yes, and send it to them.
Okay, so now we're filing paperwork and sending them to them, so they're going to get there, sit on someone's desk until somebody decides to go through it. Then they got to go into the archives, try and find all your records, and hopefully they got it what you want, or you're going to have to get what they're going to send you, look through it, they don't have it, then you're going to have to do the whole process over again, which means what? Once again, we have vets waiting on stuff. You see the cycle that we're talking about, why it is systematic now, systemic?
Mr. Todd.
I even got in touch with Senator Mary Landrieu, and I got a rubber stamp response. But okay, well they sent you this same message I'm sending you, saying that they have up until they have 12 months to respond to you and all of this and all of that. That was from a senator here in Louisiana.
Nope.
That's a representative of Louisiana. So you know, it's all a sham.
It's supposed to be 30 days.
Is well, you know, it's half time. You can't.
Why do you want him to try it to see? Maybe it'll happen.
Okay.
I forget the information, Maze.
That was a good way to handle it, Lo. If you'd have got some sympathy, those senators. I had a problem once with. Well, it's unrelated, but I talked to an aide for Barbara Boxer, the senator, and she made a call and it made things happen.
See.
Unrelated thing, but that's the way you guys need somebody with some juice.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, my dad was telling me that a guy he know that was in Vietnam fell out of a helicopter, and it just so happened that some man that was a senator or a congressman or something, he was coming up the ranks, was standing out there because it was new equipment, and when the guy fell out, they all saw it. And so what happened is when the guy went back in the 90s to get, you know, to try to get some compensation for it, he was running into all types of roadblocks. And so he remembered to that guy that was there. He got in contact with him and said, and the guy was like, yeah, I was there. And, yeah, that did happen to him. I remember that. And right then and right there, everything turned around for that guy. Everything. Because of one man saying, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, of course, yeah, sure.
Well, you got the result. Y'all were serving together.
Oh, okay.
Okay. She missed
it. Somebody let her too.
Yeah, I don't think Eric's name is Senator Jackson.
Right. I had somebody to write a letter for me also, but that was no good.
I mean, I've had soldiers call me, want me to write them letters, and I've had, you know, so, yeah, you know, whatever. I think Kat, you wanted to say something? I thought so. She did. Maybe not.
Yeah, I put myself on mute. I really feel for Lowe going through this. If you've got Congress saying that Agent Orange, you know, I'm just taking that as an example, and the Gulf War Syndrome weren't legitimate, you know, concerns that were caused by, you know, war conditions, then you've got that. But, you know, Lo, I was in the, I used to live in Dallas, and that's when I first started going to the VA, was in 2008, I think. And Then I moved to Austin and I got married. And I'm in a different, I'm in the Central Texas VA system. They couldn't merge my two medical records because they were using different programs for their records. And it's still that way. It took about 6 months for me to get that mess straightened out.
I can believe that. So why the question would be, if you have all the same agency, why are they on different systems? Why are they using different systems?
Because of funding. They don't do it across the board for, you know, every VA system. And actually, your congressmen are the people who fight for the funding for your VAs. Lloyd Doggett, who is the only Democrat I vote for, is the person responsible, God helping George Bush, who I didn't vote for, got this clinic built here.
Had to do with anything.
Well, no, I'm just saying I'm not in for any particular political party. I'm not trying to promote any political party. I don't know.
Well, that makes two of us.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
in
bureaucracy is so systemic, it doesn't matter what the freaking party is, it doesn't matter what the administration is. They don't care, haven't cared, and it's going to take a lot of push from the veterans themselves in order to try to get the juice, in order for us to get what we deserve. It's plain and simple. There's a lot of backlash, there's a lot of obstacles, and we have to do it ourselves. And the answer to your questions, which are spoken or unspoken, about how come it can't be done in a timely fashion is because there are turf wars, and because it's a centralized government, and because they just don't give a damn. When you don't give a damn, this is what happens. It's self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Wow.
I do. Joe, mine eyes have seen the glory, Joe. You told the whole story right then and right there.
I bet General Shishetsky doesn't have any problem getting any medical help.
I guarantee you. The doctor probably comes to him.
Nope. When he gets his ass booted out, Shinetsky is going to have a nice fat job on K Street.
Yeah, and neither does the senators. So, you know, the senators don't have an issue either. You know,
four-star general. How much do they get a month? He's already retired. He's been collecting that money. How much?
Right, that's over 10 stacks a month. That's over 10 G's a month.
How much, Low?
That's probably more than 10. That.
Man, hell yeah. More than $10,000 a month. Yeah.
Probably a lot more than that. My friend was a sergeant in the Marines, and I think he gets $6,000 or $7,000 a month. So I know a four-star general probably gets $20,000, $30,000,
$40,000 a month. Well, a question I have is, does anybody remember a few, probably a couple of years ago when they was having this problem with these people in Washington, D.C. paying such a low amount of rent? Where was that at? Somewhere in Washington. Joe said K Street, and it made me think about this. Those people were staying in very nice brownstones and apartments right down the street from, you know, from the White House or whatever, and they were paying, like, nothing in rent. Was it G Street or I can't remember what it was, but I wish Pionke was here because all of his facts come straight from the computer. We all
it was K Street.
Okay, K Street, okay. Yeah, those people were paying like $700-$800 a month when, you know, in that area you're looking at no less than, you know, $2,500 on the low end for rent. You know,
privately subsidized.
Yeah,
that's one of the underhanded perks that keeps the system corrupt. K Street is where all the lobbyists are.
Right.
Imagine that. So why wouldn't I thought Obama was going to do away with those people?
Oh, come on.
Well, they're the ones that gave that $1 billion to run with.
Look, hold on, and I'm glad y'all brought that up because that was my next point I was just about to bring up. You know, and guess who they got replacing Shinseki? This guy named Sloan D. Gibson. Right, who phone? Somebody answer your phone. All right, okay. A guy named Sloan Gibson.
Congress calling for Mike to see what this plan.
And, Are you through now? Okay.
I had to get it in.
Sloan D. Gibson, currently the deputy VA secretary, and he's going to run the department on interim basis. But guess what? This guy's a career banker. Can you hear that?
I get it.
He's a career banker, and he came to the department after serving as president and chief executive officer of the USO, a nonprofit organization that provides, we know. And he's also the son of an Army Air Corpsman who served in World War II and grandson of a World War I Army infantryman. But my thing is, he's a career banker. Banker. You know,
he's
that,
a legacy. Right.
That's got corporate all over it.
Yeah, you got that right. And the wrong kind of corporation, too. Because
and they also want to privatize it, too.
Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan.
And you also hear people trying to privatize VA.
Let me tell you something. You can't
separate. Get out of that?
You can't separate the stink from the skunk. They come together.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
Right.
So, no separate. No. I don't care what you do.
That's right. You got scum from the private sector. You got scum from the public sector. All sleeping together, stinking up the whole place.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, so how do we fix it? What can we do?
Ask Mike. Where's Mike? Oh, boy. He was explaining it. I don't have no solutions. I don't know how to fix most things. I don't have any illusions of my limitations.
I tell you how we can start.
I don't either.
A way to start is by not voting at all.
Oh, I disagree on that, love. I
well,
understand
that's,
where
that's
you're coming
you,
from.
I don't care. No.
Let me finish. No. Listen to me. No. Lo, I don't ever get to talk. No. You can't separate the political from the social. You see, people say that you can vote, but it doesn't mean anything, but that's not true, factually.
Wait a minute. Get off Mike, man. Leave Mike. Mike, don't
I'm not
going to let y'all do that. I'm not going to let y'all
no,
do
no,
that.
No. This is the way I feel about it. I mean,
Hold on. No, Lo. Shut up, Lo. No.
Okay, well, you get the treatment that he gets, Dean. All right. Yeah. All right.
No, so, like I said, Michael's bullets.
Yeah, and give him one more. Like I said, don't vote. I mean, people in this country say, oh, well, you know, it's our democratic right to vote. If you had more than, let's say, 75% of the population does not vote, that would raise a question. Why didn't all of these people vote? They have the right to vote. It's their right. They can make changes and all that. And you come up to Joe on the street and Joe says, hey, my voting doesn't count anyway. I voted for the last 47 years and it hasn't mattered one way or the other. And I feel the same way as the other people that didn't vote. And, you know, you have CNN out there asking questions. They don't care, but they're going to ask questions. And the rest of the world can actually look at it and say, hey, you know what? America's ways aren't as wonderful as we thought they were.
Well,
I don't know all counts, but you know what's going to happen? Here's the fly in the ointment. Let's say you've got the 75% who don't vote. CNN goes out there and they expose the whole thing. And so the Americans are saying, yeah, we're not voting anymore. And then the politicians say, it's your right to vote. Veterans have died for your right to vote. You know what they're secretly hoping for? That you continue not to vote, because if you don't vote, the incumbent automatically stays into office. And which means no change whatsoever.
Actually, that's not true. And the reason why it's not true is because the other 25% of the people, well, let's say 23%, and the other two that says, hey, you know, I'm going to vote for this party or that party, the other 21-22% that votes for the majority, which would be okay, you've had Obama for 8 years.
Right.
Then next coming is going to be a Republican. So you have the 23% vote for the Republican, or you can even split it, let's say 65-35, and they voted, so nobody else matters because you had enough people to vote in and out a new incumbent.
Well, that's assuming that the 25% who do vote aren't going to be the represent the apathy that's been going on for decades now. But so you have 75% who don't vote, 25% who still think that the votes count. Guess what happens? They're going to vote along the same lines that they've always been doing before. So instead of having 50 million vote, now you've got 10 million voting, but the 10 million are still going to vote the same as if the whole 50 million were voting. And you probably have no change, just like we've been having no change the past few decades.
I agree with that. So you stop treating these people like they're rock stars or television stars, and maybe you get somewhere. I shouldn't be a journalist, and I'm asking questions. And we're walking. And we're walking, and I'm asking questions. And then once we get to the elevator, you say, hey, this is just for me. You can't get on the elevator, so bye. No, we shouldn't have it like that. But we do. People are treated like they're celebrities, and, you know, they're
celebrities.
Privileges they don't need or shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I say piss on them all.
I want Eric to have some of his senators and congressmen come on here and let me grill them like I've grilled them on other shows. I've had a couple of them say to me and to the host, I didn't come here to be asked these kind of questions. And then I interrupted and said, well, you shouldn't have run for office.
Right. That's a good point, Joe.
You know, because I don't give a, you know, this rock star status that you're talking about is absolutely true. And every time I hear one of these scumbags on one of these national shows and these national pundits are saying, well, sir, it's nice to have had you here. I was glad to get your point of view. What the hell did he talk about?
Nothing.
They're all full of it. They talk a good
smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Smoke and mirrors.
Polished liars. Liars with no substance.
Right.
I spoke about this earlier. You know, I worked in downtown Los Angeles for years, and I, you know, being politically aware, I knew a lot of the political figures from city councilmen to state senators, and if I recognized them, I would say something to them. And I'd say, hey, how you doing? You remember me? Oh, yeah, I never met him a day in my life, you know. Hey, how you doing? Remember me? Oh, wow, yeah, hey, great to see you again and everything. Great to see you again. They look over at his watch or he'll talk to someone. They'll say, nice seeing you. Hey, take care. How's your dad?
Well, you get.
They said they'll get you. And you know what? And I was like, you know, you guys aren't the fakest bunch of rascals and characters I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You got
anybody
your knees down to their job.
Now, if anybody that would be so fake and lie and tell a lie so effortlessly, you know, there's really truly something wrong with them. They say that all politicians, that they're like some of the truest narcissists of all. I mean, how quick do they like to jump in front of the camera or in front of a microphone and talk? They're like some of the people that call into these shows.
Yeah, but they don't get to jump in front of a camera. Hey, I don't want to change the conversation.
Go
Mr.
ahead,
Talk.
Mr. Talk.
But quick question: if I go back in your archives, could I actually hear about what happened the other day? I didn't hear it, and I was told about it, and I really want to hear it. I want to hear it so bad. I'm not calling anybody. Anybody
when your homie got exiled?
I want to hear it. Yeah, I want to hear it.
When they put him out the pasture?
That was yesterday. Day before yesterday, Lo.
It's in the archives. You can go back in the archives.
Okay. I will definitely do that. And I hope you're listening, you bastard.
Oh, you know what's funny, Lo? Let me give you a spoiler. First off, Mr. Solution, you cannot talk about me and my son in the same breath talking about how if we were you. You are now, therefore, banned from the show. Ding, 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 ding. Who's this? Who do I have here? Hello, Eric. This is Mr. Solution. Bye. And then, ding, ding, ding. Mr. Solution. I mean,
no,
Mr.
No,
Eric, you
no,
hung up on me. Bye.
I like Mr. Solution. I'm a Mr. Solution's fan, but when he called back the second time, what he said was, hey, Eric, why'd you hang up on me? And he hung up on him again.
I wasn't trying to change the conversation.
I just wanted to find out whether it were true or not.
You want to change the conversation. You love changing the fucking conversation. What are you talking about?
All right. All right, hold on. Let's talk about something real fast. Donna Sterling, they got a buyer for the, what you call it, the guy in Microsoft. But wait a minute, wasn't this the same guy that just backed down the other day because the LBG caused him to step down from Microsoft because he had given money to an anti-gay group?
Is this not the Microsoft, same guy? That was...
that wasn't the same guy? Okay.
No. It was a nonprofit.
I vaguely remember that.
Where do those nonprofit people come up with all their money? Is the question.
That was my bad. It wasn't nonprofit. It was.
As you know, the NBA is a nonprofit.
Yeah. Right. Well, you could arrange the books and so where they don't really where they don't make a profit. I mean, it could be heavy in salaries. You know, I have a friend that has a nonprofit, and he operates on donations, and he takes $175,000 a year out of there.
But imagine that.
He does do good work in the community, and it took him maybe 10, 15 years to get it to where he has it now.
I had a list of all the quote-unquote nonprofit organizations and how much the CEOs and the actual people that head those organizations
make a
year. Yeah. You know, yeah. And so what's his bastard's name? Kenneth Copeland, you know, he's there with
the head of the United Way. That's the biggest one.
Yeah, African kids, and he's there and doing this little talk.
That's the guy that gives the thing on TV when they show you the kids living in mud with flies all over them and tell them to give you 50 mm-hmm. cents a day. Right. They were like really working on
you.
You got
one for the veterans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much does he make a year doing that?
It's got to be at least 150 pounds.
No, I'm sure he makes more than that.
Are you serious? that guy has ocean front property? I think like 8 or 9.
Or Malibu.
Cessna jets. Yeah. Cessna planes, something like that. 8 or 9 planes.
Got private jets. Oh, so he might command. He might take $1 million or $2 a year plus perks.
Really?
I'm gonna give him better than that. I mean, sitting there, and I know watches. Trust me. And sitting there looking at the $25,000 watch he has on his wrist every day,
they don't give those away. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Brother, it's all the truth. It's not that's not put it in hating. It's the truth. Brian, you got a raspy voice. When somebody say that nowadays, you're hating on him. You want that? No, I'm not. I don't want that.
I was just using a little catchphrase. Because I'm not above doing some shit like that. I'm independent. I have to constantly reinvent myself, and you're making lights go off in my head. All you got to do is fly over somewhere and get some pictures and some film of some kids like, you know, Princess Di with flies all over them and dirty and everything and living in a real messed up place. Take some video of them. Give them some oatmeal and some lollipops or something.
Foundation.
Hold on. The Beasley Foundation. That's a good name, too. Trust me, I've had epiphanies and ideas and have turned them into moneymakers. You gotta be creative out here. So then you buy some television time, and the donations rolling in, and just make sure you keep throwing them kids some oatmeal and give them some shots or whatever every now and then and some bottled water.
I hope they rob you. this guy. But you know, as far as the Donald Sterling
thing,
as far as the Donald Sterling thing is, man, I don't care what he gets. I don't care what he come out with. It makes me no difference at all, man. I'm going to tell you why. You have so many people now, especially in this country, which is a country that's built and based on murder. You have so many people in this country as hypocrites. I would rather somebody say, hey, you know what? I don't like you. Hey, I don't want you to be around me. hey, I don't have anything to do with you, as opposing to the phony smiling, yeah, gee-geeing in my face. And as soon as they get home, I hate him. I hate him. I hate his mammy and his pappy. I hate him. I don't want him around me. They smell like wet dogs.
Oh,
you know,
Lord.
I would rather have a person just come straight out and say, hey, I don't want to be around you. I don't want you around me, nor my or your kind. I would respect them as opposing to the phony. The phony is going to smile, and they're going to lie, and they're going to pretend. You just talked about the celebrities. I'm going to call them celebrities because they're not congressmen or senators. They're celebrities living on their celebrity status. So you just talked about that. That's all they're doing, playing a part. So,
wow.
It is what it is.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think actually the guy who was supposed to be buying them, I think they're in cahoots. I don't know how, but I got a feeling they kind of in cahoots. But it's okay. It's going to come out. It's going to come out. But hold on. Let me bring Renee in. Renee has a very important announcement she want to make, and I want to make sure I get her in before everybody goes off that's not going to get on the air. We are going into overtime, so 347-838-8622. We got about 10 minutes left in the show, so you want to continue to hear the show live, get on the phones and be listening because we are going in overtime. All right, so let me bring Renee in real fast. Okay, Miss Renee, how you doing?
Hi, everybody. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Yes.
Oh, good. Go ahead and put your announcement out there, darling.
Okay. I was going to tell everybody two things. Well, one, I'm debating this Sunday night someone named Cleo Monago. He's very easy to look up. But I will be debating him on Blog Talk Radio. I posted the link in the chat room, and I'll post it again before the show ends, too. So that should be good because he is over something called the Black Men's Exchange, and it's gay black men. He is pro-black. I'll say that. And he comes from a certain standpoint on things, probably that we can agree on certain things, but maybe not certain other things. So he's known for that and some of the work he does, but he coined a phrase, called same-gender love. So, yeah, we're going to go into a bunch of that type of thing. So it should be very good. And next Wednesday night from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m., Central, will be my show, and so you guys listen if you remember, but I'll post the links in the chat room and my Facebook. Thank you.
I'm trying to put two things together. How are you pro-
Hey,
what you doing? What you doing is gonna cut them off. What you doing is gonna cut off you. How you pro you? I don't understand.
Hey.
And I say that as stupid as I can because what was just said about what that guy believes, is stupid.
Yeah.
And, the person that says, "Well, I don't believe that anybody want to be born that way." They're not born that way. They chose to be that way.
We're going to go in. I'm going to tell you that now because he is very passionate, and as I am as well. And he, you know, he's well-known and things, and, you know, he's my elder and everything, but he's passionate about the things he speaks about. And, I was looking at some of his videos, and we kind of had a little talk on Facebook the other day, so he was like, okay, save it for the show, because some of his people were, he's got some minions and people that were, like, not happy with some things I said, so
how old is he?
You're going to call in, so you know, we'll see how this goes. But the guy whose show it is, he's very on point. And he set this up. And so we agreed to be respectful and professional, or decent, rather. And so we're going to see how it goes.
Ma'am, how old is he? You said he's your elder. How old is he?
Yeah. All right.
I think maybe in his late 40s. Maybe in his late 40s.
Oh,
that's
old.
An elder?
Is he
a top or a bottom?
And I'm going to say you wanted to know. I'm going to say this guy, he might be Beasley. He might be versatile, Beasley.
No, why did
I think
that even?
Nowadays, a lot of them are versatile. I think they do both. So, but hey, I can ask.
And the point is going to be about what? Y'all going to get equal time to talk?
They titled the show. Ronald titled the show. Gay is the new black. Whatever. And that's the topic he came up with. Instead of I didn't come up with the topic. Cleo didn't come up with it. That's what the show host came up with, and we agreed to do it. So.
Well, I'm asking how the hell could that even be coined a topic? I mean, how can
easy?
Gay,
that's easy.
New
black. For people that want to know what they're doing and all of
that. That's not it. If
your
about,
own edification too, Lord. That's
care.
The main whole premise.
If y'all special women, I can tell you how that can be. If you look at the way society is going today with the reality TV shows and the way, it's being portrayed, yes, it actually can be. That question needs to be asked, because if you look more with the LBG, with the gay agenda, the way it's going right now, and the way, especially with the housewives, all these housewives shows, if you look at it, they showing the black men on there all dressed up like women and, a honey child and all this stuff. So I think, and it's destroying our community. So I think that's a dang on question. I really do.
Renee, what can I stop talking?
Dang, that's my show. I pay for this. Golly. And I think that is a question. Yes, I'm not saying I'm for it, because I think I've been on record here more than once saying, I'm not for that. But, I think that's a good question, and it does need to be brought up, because a lot of folks still, going for it, but that's the way I feel. Go ahead.
What's the gentleman or the gentle person's name she's going to be debating? I'm not going to I said I'm tired of this subject, but I got a feeling they got something for you. You don't go mess with a bunch of gays, man. They're going to ambush you. You keep walking into these traps. You need a coach.
I tell you this.
You need a life coach that knows
this.
How to see these things.
Renee,
you need some vision. What's the gentleman's name? I'm going to look him up. What's the guy's name?
They can say what they want. They can say what they want.
Tell me his name real quick.
Have what they have, and you tune in and listen. Thank you.
Renee.
But yes.
What's the guy's name?
Cleo, C-L-E-O. Manago, M-A-N-A-G-O.
That sounds nasty, huh? Manago. Let me see. Oh, he's a nice-looking guy.
Are you going to be asking questions to Renee?
Am I going to be what?
Asking him questions?
Well, it's a debate.
The only question I want you to ask him is to give the history of how long he's been out there and what he's been doing and why people have never noticed.
People do notice him, but I'm sure he'll tell whatever.
I don't know. I'm somebody, and I don't know who the hell he is.
He's a gay activist.
Who cares?
Some people,
man.
Now, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like for people to say that.
Oh, whatever. That's what he is.
He doesn't like that.
You guys are a match made in heaven.
He's a gay activist.
Yeah.
I
don't care what you call me. Call me anti-gay activist, whatever. I am what I know I am. So anyway,
That's not meant as a slur. I wasn't trying to put you down.
Okay. It doesn't matter if it is or not.
Beasley, shut up. What does she want?
Doesn't matter.
I'm asking you, what does she want to come out of the show with you? Because, see, what happened was a lot of black people were enticed with the, and I say black people because it's true, a lot of black people were enticed with the whole Tyler Perry thing. Mm-hmm. It was something normal to them when he come in with his plays and
right.
you got an abomination on the stage with a church song. They don't go together.
Right.
People were so caught up in the spirit of that thing, so they would never say, "Hey, why this grown ass man got a dress on and talking to act like a woman? Why couldn't they have gotten a woman to play a part?" I asked somebody the other day, "Why didn't they just get a woman to play the Madea part in the first place?"
Right.
But it worked out a lot better.
Because that's part of what he wants to do. That's part of what he wants to exhibit, if you know what I mean. And he's trying to keep all the balls in the air, so he's trying to play like he's not whatever he really is for right now. He's being mum is the word. Why do you need to be mum is the word? Unless you don't want to come out and say it because that might affect, yes.
If he was raped when he was a young child by a man, what did he got to keep in the closet for? He told that story. But Flip Wilson
came
out with a dress, and we sit and watch them all the time. We had no problem.
Well, they, you know what?
He told
they're always putting the black actors in a dress.
In a dress.
All black
except
men.
David Chappelle. He would not
wear
a dress.
Yeah, they all
have to be. I don't see you today.
And if you don't wear the dress, you can name me one, and he's been in a dress.
David Chappelle.
He did. Yeah, he's blackballed.
But I put up for people who do not believe, that any of this stuff is real, I put up a couple of things on my Facebook. And if you guys have seen the Time magazine cover, okay, that just came out, it's got.
I'm looking at it right now.
Anybody that's seen the show Orange is the New Black, which I love that show. But anybody who's seen that show, it's about a women's prison, and in the prison is a transsexual black man, okay? And this person is on the cover of Time Magazine.
No, that's a man.
And it's called the Transgender Tipping Point. Now, anybody who knows about Time Magazine knows it's hell for a black person to get on the cover. I mean, it's very rare. They put Obama on there about the first gay president, if y'all remember that. They put him on there, and maybe just a couple other black folk have ever been on there. But all of a sudden, this person, okay, who's just been on this one season of this show, to where people really know who this is. But yet, they're on the cover of Time magazine.
Because they're trying to advertise something that's not for the people to believe that because just like I tell you, when you see the gay march, it's not you.
Well, when our people go out there, they go out there wide open.
They do, and that's what they took my video, they banned my video, and this video is so on point. On everything, they banned it, and then somebody sent it in to GLAAD or whatever, so the video is completely banned. I cannot get it up anywhere. But the video is talking about that, and it's talking about how, you know, all these things were perpetrated on us during slavery. The abused became the abusers. And it showed how that perverse sex and all that stuff came into our culture just from being here, coming from, you know, our native land, and then the things that they did to us, the men and the women, and then how that, you know, it seeped into our culture. That's why we have this VL thing even now. That stuff's been going on for hundreds of years. And that's also why we have a lot of molestation in the black community. People don't talk about it. People keep it quiet, even though it's like something like 60% of black women have been molested. You know, so it's like we have all of these secrets. But with the gay black people now, I was showing how the whites, how they had their gay pride events. And, I mean, they are outrageous. Y'all should see some of the pictures I put up. But, I mean, they had on nun costumes that were little bitty short men with short, these rubber dresses on, chains and ribs and tied up and leather and all of this stuff. And, you know, and then I put up, how, and I said, in black folks caught right up with them. Then I put up all the pictures of the gay black parade, black gay pride parade, and I showed exactly how now our people, our black men specifically, are doing this same, what I consider nasty or perverted BS, walking around with all of this stuff on and doing all of this in public, mm-hmm. in daylight.
That's all I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. If you keep focusing on them and you're not looking at what looks like you, somebody might convince you one day if you forget to where you're supposed to be by watching that.
Maze, what planet are you on right now?
I'm on planet
Earth. I know exactly what she's saying. I know exactly what she's saying.
Thank you, Lord.
The question is, did you get the message? Because the message is in everything is centered around you or
watching
us
that,
not keeping the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
We will never come out of the situation we in if we don't. Never. And that's just the way it is. As long as we try to live and be like... Wait, hold on. I want to specify something.
I ain't never want to be like the Joneses.
I want to specify something to it. We were always supposed to live separate from other people. And as long as we did and we kept what we were supposed to, we would have been okay. But we went out and we looked at everybody.
Who told you this? Where do you get this
from? Out of the Bible.
The Bible tells you that different ethnicities should be separate from each other.
Absolutely. Even in the New Testament, come out from among them, my people, and be ye separate, quote unquote. So,
all right. Well, I guess modern society and the world for years have been going against the Bible for a long, long, long time.
Well, modern society does not mean it's correct. And that's something that annoys me when people say progression. That's not progression. Just because we in 2014 and this stuff is going on, that means that's progress.
What stuff? Homosexuality?
Evolving.
Homosexuality or people of different ethnicities? I'm trying to ask you a question. You're talking about homosexuality or people of different ethnicities intermingling amongst one another?
We were not even supposed
I'm talking
to
about
marry
both.
Those people. Hold on 1 second. Let me interject real quick, Renee. Beasley, we were not even supposed to marry those people.
Oh, God. You know, the funny thing is, Lo, is that you live in Louisiana. You know what Huey Long said? He said, I'll give a bottle of bourbon to any pure white man in Louisiana.
Brother.
Louisiana is the capital in the United States when it comes to the intermixing of the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's
you
why
got,
I keep
if,
saying
if,
If
your roots are from Louisiana, I would bet if they did a DNA test on you, you would have anywhere from 16% to 25% European, white, French blood in you.
Well, that's why mine doesn't go back to Louisiana, for one thing. And the other thing is everything I say I can back up with fact. And, again, we were never supposed to live amongst those people and give our children to them, nor take theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You see, everything that's being perpetuated now is for us to go and be like other people. The craziest thing I saw today, somebody sent me a text message of a guy from a small town in Arkansas having sex with a horse. A black dude.
What the heck does that have to do with race mixing?
That's
now you're
not
talking
a
about
bus.
Now
that's
you're talking
a
about
bus.
Species mixing.
If I can finish.
That's not a bus.
If I can finish, what happened is he looking at what they doing. He wanted to go and do what they doing. So it's the exact same thing now. You have these black people coming out. They all over the place trying to push somebody else's gauge. If white people wasn't pushing all this gay crap, it wouldn't mean nothing. They wouldn't have it on TV nowhere.
Now, Cleo said, Now, Cleo said,
you know what, Lo? If I put on some sheets, and put you on some sheets and gave you a white hood, I couldn't tell the difference if it was a black man talking or the Ku Klux Klan. The same damn difference.
Now, Cleo said himself.
It's the same story.
Cleo said himself that he is completely against the white gang establishment or whatever, and he said they are the KKK. But if you think about it in those terms, and you see now all of this stuff they pushing these black gay people in the front, I do not see how gay black people are that deaf, dumb, and blind that you don't see you are being used. You are being used to be the test pilot, to be the experiment, to break the ice, so that if they throw out there a black person, it also breaks the ice and it also aligns with civil rights, because it becomes harder to separate discrimination when you have a black person who's also gay. And they don't realize what they're doing. And this type of behavior, this type of stuff is not of us. It's not of us. So to look on Time magazine and see this big old black man with this wig and dress and stuff on, baby, you are a man. I don't give a damn what you say you think you feel like, and I ask this transsexual, what do you mean? How does a woman feel? Tell me that. Because he said, I feel like a woman. How does a woman feel then? Tell me how a woman feels. You can't. Because you are a man and you are in a mental situation. See, this is the problem. These people are mentally ill, and I'm gonna keep it real. And people don't like that, but they're mentally ill. Because why in the hell would you tell these people that they're okay, and then you have them get all these surgeries, mutilating themselves, cutting themselves up, doing this, taking them hormones? That stuff screws them up. Taking hormones, mutilating themselves, and then saying these people are mentally sane, and they still not a woman.
Man, you are evangelical about this stuff. You don't not.
I can't even
understand. I swear to God.
It.
I swear. You know what? I want to jump up and say amen sometimes. You are evangelical.
It.
You are.
Do it.
I admire your zeal. I really admire your zeal.
Here you go.
I know it gets old for someone having to be around you with you harping on this stuff nonstop. You have a right to feel the way that you do.
You don't like the presentation of facts. You don't like the information at all, and I don't care.
You don't know what I like. I don't like what is tiring is discussing homosexuality all the time. I'm interested. That's probably on the top 1,000 things that I'm interested in. That's probably close to 999.
Well, that's you. Are we not two different people? This is This is something that I'm speaking on that's my platform. People have many different things. So, and
do you
I don't
think
speak
that you're
about
obsessed
something
about
I don't
this?
Know about. So if I'm speaking on it, I know about it. I don't give a damn
what
you think about me. That's you.
I'm just asking you a question.
It's funny. It's funny that he, you know what, and you know the funny thing about it is.
Hold on, I'm not gay. Why are you mad at me?
These people will shove this in your face day in and day out on the television, on in music. Oh, well, so-and-so came out. It's on the radio. But you were not supposed to say a damn thing against it. They shove it in your face every day. And then the dumbass old black man is holding us back. Well, why are you so worried about it?
Exactly. But see, this is my thing.
No,
this is
that's
been
a good
people.
Question. Why?
Y'all
I'm
say that
stuff
don't know
now,
people. He don't care a damn about it.
Outside of the political agenda, which is trying to affect all of us through legislative means, why are people afraid of this?
People are afraid of a lot of things that they won't admit they're afraid of.
No, but there
wait a minute. Let me set that straight. Hold on.
Okay.
You really need to fight over this stuff.
Homophobia.
I'm not afraid because it's nothing new to me.
And homophobia and you scared. I'm not scared of not a damn gay person. I'm not scared of gay people. I don't hate gay people. If there's a gay person, I don't have no problem with them.
You know this
out.
Conversation with this guy
the
guy that's coming up, it's going to go bad.
But at the same time, black folk need to quit doing this reactive bull. And that is, we wait for stuff to get so bad. This people are having an attack on us. Y'all don't see that? Y'all little boys is running that around here thinking they girls.
Agenda,
what is the problem that black people
can't see? You're trying to save
a black, and it's crazy because I don't want to one day be like, I told you so.
From becoming gay, right? You're trying
I don't
want
to one day be like, I told you so. But looking at how things go now, holler at me in 3 to 5 years.
The problem is that you
want to
know what they're doing in the bed. You want to know what they're doing behind the doors. That ain't my business.
And nobody's talking about what they're doing
that's
in the bed.
That's
this
what
stuff
they
is being aimed at your children. Hello?
So what's your
that's what it's about. Y'all not seeing that because y'all older
so
people
susceptible.
And you don't know out there not our young people.
He's trying to save little kids from getting gay.
Hold on. You know, I'm listening to y'all, and you know what? I got to admit, I agree with Renee and Lo. I do. And I'm not scared of them, but I agree with it. You know, this is something that needs to be stopped, and it's out of hand. You know, it's out of hand. It really is. But hold on. Kat want to say something real fast. Hello, Kat. You on the line. Go for it.
She hates the fags, too.
I just say as a white person, I've never known another white person that screws horses.
Yes, they do.
So I don't know where
they
got
where they
I
do
would,
dogs, cats, and everything else. And they want to marry the animals.
Hold on.
So I don't know any people.
Can somebody please,
pass
me the popcorn? I'm going to mute myself. I don't have to entertain
just
right
that
now.
Because you got a picture of him.
No, that man that went to jail that was messing with the horses about a year ago, he went to jail for messing with the horses.
You know, going to be screwing horses.
I guess you didn't see that on the news.
Actually, Kat, I'll say this. Actually, do you know what Alexander the Great died from?
Nope.
Syphilis.
He was a fantastic homosexual.
He had sex with anything he could, man or beast. Alexander the Great. They call him Alexander the Great, but his name in history is Alexander the Greek. He had sex with anything that he could, and he died from a bad case of syphilis.
So he's the
father. He was a warrior.
Galvin.
He was I didn't say he was the father of any of that. I said he had a terrible case of syphilis. Yeah, and Catherine the Great, she died, and another white woman, and she died because they had a contraption built up. They took a horse and was going to put it on top of her and lower the horse down on the hoist. And the whole thing broke and fell on top of the woman and crushed her to death. Catherine the Great. Yeah, two great people that they call great
right.
in history. This
now,
history.
Listen, I agree with Renee about the Europeans in the 19th century. The leisure class had the men who wanted to have sex with males. They couldn't do it in proper among their own peers, so they had sex mm-hmm. with their slaves. I totally mm-hmm. agree with Renee about that.
But then the biggest lawsuit in this country is because of the Catholic Church that turned these boys out.
Mm.
And nothing was ever done about it.
Well, pedophilia.
And something that was said.
Let's be clear about pedophilia. People want to, now I'm going to say this. People want to say, gay people are not pedophiles. Now I'm going to say this. I'm not going to say every gay person is a pedophile or anything like that. But I will tell you what statistics say, which is that homosexual men are 7 times more likely to be pedophiles than a heterosexual man. That's all I'm going to say. Well,
I do recall. I recall watching the movie The Gladiator, and it was one
mm-hmm.
scene in there when the guy was about to kick that other guy off into that deep pit, and it was the crazy thing about it, I did some research, and those people that were considered, what was the name, Leonidas or whatever, those were actually our people, so they had Caucasians play the part. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, the thing is this. If you listen to what he says when the guy says, all we want is earth and water,
mm-hmm.
He says, well, you went to the Greeks before, and those boy lovers, if they turned you down, how much more? And I'm like, I didn't hear that at first. And then I went back and watched the movie again, and the Greeks were well known for having sex
oh, yeah.
with children.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was about, pederasty. They had homosexuality. pederasty and bestiality. Those three things were very well documented and known coming out of Europe, coming out of the Roman Empire. You don't know or hear of those things from Africa. You just don't.
Well, Renee, I'm going to have to cut you off right there, baby, because we're not from Africa. We're not from Africa, honey.
Well, I'm just saying, people of our skin tone.
Where are we from, Lo?
We are from Jerusalem, my brother.
Oh.
Well, that's only the chosen people, Lo, that are from Jerusalem.
I was born in Los Angeles.
I don't care where you were born. See, now what happens is the ignorant, foolish black man comes in with the foolishness. You get to talking about things.
Oh, you are. Man, stop taking yourself so seriously.
I was born in California.
Man.
I was born in Chicago.
Beasley,
I can see you in front of Joe right now, shucking with your head now. Joe, you're a bigot.
You don't understand anything about science and people. And you're constantly looking for differences. Yeah, there's differences, but the differences aren't biological and they're not genetic. Because
the fact of the matter is, whether you like it or not,
99.9% of all people are genetically the same. The differences among the humans are very slight, and there are far more similarities than there are differences.
We are made different for a reason. Now, I don't care what religion you believe in. I don't care if you are atheist, whatever. It does not matter. Okay? There's still
Where's Cat?
Male.
Don't let them talk about white
There's
people like
male
this, Cat.
And female, as if there are multiple races or ethnicities or what have you. If we were all meant to be the same, okay, if we were meant to mix genders and mix races, then why didn't things start out that way? No matter how they came about, why didn't they start that way? We are the ones getting into this modern, quote-unquote, time, talking about we've evolved and we've progressed. But we haven't, because we've gotten farther and farther away from our true nature. And that's why people say, somebody asked me, well, is a gay man a real man? And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you, and this is my feeling. Is a gay man a real man? In my opinion, no. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, and this is my definition, okay? A man is a package of things. It's a package deal. So him having integrity, respect for himself and others, so on and so forth, okay? However, now, we know to have sex and be romantic with a man is a feminine trait by nature. That's how we all came into existence, okay? It's female being with male sexually. So if you are a man being with another man sexually, you stepped outside your nature as a man. So how can you step outside your nature but still want to be considered a man? Because you are doing what right now was a female feminine trait. So
like
I cannot say you are
that was
what about the lesbians? They're certainly displaying feminine traits when they get together. So how do you explain that?
About the lesbians what?
The lesbians are displaying feminine traits, one female to another, so that disrupts the nature.
Exactly.
There's not a female. There's no masculinity there. So.
Exactly, but this is the thing, though.
You should see some of them butch ones I've seen. With boots on and big broad shoulders, broader than mine, and a razor cut.
And let me tell you, they will step to you. Wait a minute. They will step to you like a man will step to you.
No, they won't step to me.
No, I'm saying a lesbian to another woman. I'm saying a lesbian to another woman.
They might step to a man, too, but I'm not the one to step to.
I don't know. But they will step to you how a man steps to you, like to try to talk to you or say things. It's like, well, what the hell? No,
The thing about it, she can come there with all of that on, but if you grab her between her legs, you won't feel a man.
Wait a minute, my mom at her job is a woman who's a lesbian.
Why would I cry? I want to grab one of them big burly-looking bras between the legs.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Richard.
Man, you might do. Man, I got some class about myself and some taste, man. I'm to listen to what you said.
She's a bully person. She's a male in a relationship, okay, with her partner or her woman. And they had a baby. Her brother gave his, you know, to the wife of her wife, and they had a baby and all this stuff. Okay, now this woman is very masculine, very, very masculine. Yet, this heifer, my mama says, she walks in the bathroom, and this heifer's in there getting a damn on pad out of the machine in the women's restroom. And my mama says she just turned around and walked out. Now, you're supposed to run around here trying to act like you a man, masculine, and everything else. And then you go in here, you on your menstrual cycle, which happens to women.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
mm-hmm.
these people are so confused and out of their damn
mind. Absolutely. It's confusion.
You're running around here with cramps and everything else, but you a man.
Let me ask you something.
Hold on 1 second. Why we need to know? You keep stopping me. No, I yielded to you past 3 times. Let me go this time, Lo. So it's obviously that you feel that this is like a major problem, and it's you're passionate about it, and you obviously feel. What do you suggest as a solution? How are you going to stop? How are you going to? How are you going
to
stop homosexuality? Because don't get me wrong. Don't get
speak against it.
I'm asking Dr. Bass with the PhD in homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you know. Number one,
I recognize that you've done some research and some study.
Oh, God.
How are you going to stop this? I might help you.
There's no way. Wait a minute. There's no way to stop it. Wait a minute. Listen. Number one, we have to realize it's a problem. Now, if the black community, wait a minute, if the black community keeps turning their head, just like we do with everything else,
you know,
okay,
you're getting through to me. I do not want everybody to be gay. How are we going to stop it? What can I do today?
We have to recognize it's a problem. Because once we recognize it's a problem, then people will be bound to do something. Next, the biggest thing we need to do is these shows like Fashion Queens and all of this stuff being forced down our throat, ESPN having this dude on there.
If you're not watching it,
wait a minute, off of his boyfriend's face and all this stuff. We need to be standing up against that, whether we protesting, whether we saying we're not going to buy nothing from here, we're not going to do this, that, or the other. We need to be pushing that we have black families and healthy black families shown. We need to develop our own networks. We don't even have that anymore. And then the last thing, which is the most important thing, is we need to be dealing with these children. So we need to get mm-hmm. this stuff out of their school. We need to be standing up and say, I don't want my children coming home with books about daddy and his roommate. We need to be monitoring what our children are watching and listening to. But the problem is you have a lot of homes with just the mama there, and she's working, she's busy doing stuff. So these kids are being raised off of entertainment. Also, another big thing, we need to have black men in these communities setting up programs, doing things to have young black men come in and have an ability to bond with another male so that they can help develop their masculinity and their manhood. Because when you around nothing but women, you up under women for damn near your whole life through puberty, what else can you expect but effeminacy and possibly to go in that direction? So
you
those are
expect
some
a boy
things
to be a
you need
man.
To work on.
Even expecting a boy to be a man.
I will
and
say
have
this about
and
the
family. That's what you can expect.
I was going to say, I will say this about the male classes. I definitely agree with you about that. As a child, I had the privilege to experience a manhood class at a organization that was connected to Dr. Kwanza Kanjufu. It was called the African Images. And for me, I had an epiphany as a young teen during this process, because I personally grew up in a single mother household. So for me, to be in the presence of another male who was a male of, a man of valor, a man of integrity, mm-hmm. who was able to teach me things about my history and surround me with other young guys, brethren, my brethren, and we began to build relationships through this class that extended beyond those walls. And personally, it was life transforming for myself personally. So I definitely can see the benefit
exactly.
of the male class personally.
Because if you've never had that role model, you've never had that example of what a man does, how he treats a woman, how he goes to work and come home, how he relates to things.
Yeah.
If you as a young boy, you've never seen that and you just seeing mama do it, that's a kind of a skewed mindset. And what happens is, what you just talked about, I love that, because you said that made an impact on you, but it was in a healthy way. A man, a boy, is going to have to seek out his manhood regardless. If he's around women or whatever, he's still going to have to find it for himself. But we need to be helping him find it in a healthy way, not in an unhealthy way.
Good point.
She deserves the claps for that, Mr. Talk. Give her the claps.
No, I'm not going to give her the claps. I give her some.
No, don't give me.
The bottom line is, Renee, you're feeling that the children, even if they're born heterosexual, they're going to be very easily changed if they're around homosexuals.
Well, you're impressionable at that age, and you don't listen to your parents. That's been shown. You listen to your peers.
So if you have
a lot of peers, you don't have much oversight.
Okay.
You have
a lot of peers
and encouragement of being experimental, because a lot of these kids now are bisexual. Huh?
Is that a yes? So you're afraid that...
Yes,
that out of a million children who, let's say, get around a million homosexual kids, gay kids, that those million heterosexual kids are going to be changing into homosexual kids.
It's possible.
It's
children
possible.
Are impressionable,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Children are very impressionable, okay?
That they're impressionable.
No doubt that
they're very susceptible to ideas, but you're kind of forgetting that the DNA might have something to do with it.
It's not about the DNA.
Of course it's about the DNA.
Okay, let me tell you how it's not about the DNA.
How would you
know? In the black community with lesbians, wait a minute, with lesbians, okay, we have
I don't want another speech. What I want is an answer to
the
question.
I'm not giving
how
you a speech.
Know?
I'm telling you it's not DNA.
Excuse me, Mr. Talk.
Where's the proof of that? Where's the proof of it?
Well, people are born out of procreation, and they have the chromosomes, and they have the DNA, and as a result of the DNA, that's why we're humans. We have predilection towards human behavior. What you're saying is that human beings, because we're impressionable as kids, that these kids have to become homosexual.
I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
Maybe you didn't listen to what I said. I said out of a million kids, if they come across a million homosexual kids, the million are going to turn into homosexual kids. And you said very likely.
I said it's possible. Did everybody hear me say it's
possible?
That's right.
Yeah, you're the same person.
So I didn't say that would happen. I said it's
possible. The difference between a fact and a reality.
Oh, Lord. All right. Hold on. Man, you know what? I tell you what. I cannot wait till Sunday night, because I already see this is going to be a good one. You know, I'm going to have my gloves on, too, because I'm going to have to get a part of this. Very interesting conversation for the overtime part of the show. I'm telling you. Very interesting. And, yeah, this is going to be pretty good. All right, y'all, it's 4:30. I got to get up out of here my time, so I'm going to let y'all go and get your last words in real fast and short and sweet. So we're going to start with Kat. Kat, are you still here? Kat, going once. Kat, are you there? Going twice. All right, Kat must be busy. Oh, wait a minute.
I had muted myself.
Okay.
That was a good show. I enjoyed it. And, Renee, I'll be there, and I'm very interested in what you have to say. That's all.
All righty. Thank you, ma'am, and thank you for participating today. All right. Let's see, the man I silenced a while ago. Beasley, you up.
Oh, God. I'm going to send Renee some rainbow flags.
You better leave Renee alone. That's it?
She needs to leave the gay people alone. Just like, you remember the dude, Lou Dobbs, that used to be on CNN, that used to go in on the Mexicans and illegal immigration? You know what? I think anybody that just has, like, one topic and they harp on it and they become evangelical about it, the shit is boring after a while. But I guess people have their agendas, and that applies to everybody, you know, that have one topic and one thing that they push and one thing that they talk about. If you only understood how boring it is to people that like and have the ability to discuss a myriad of topics, but it is what it is.
All right, that's it?
Oh, yeah, that's not, yeah, short and sweet.
Have a
nice
right.
weekend.
Are you too, thank
not,
you.
Right, don't beat up no gay people.
Whatever. All right, anyway. All right, Joe, you up.
All right. Look, according to this particular theory about how impressionable kids are, if a million kids who are born heterosexual very possibly could turn into homosexuals, right, after being in contact with a million homosexual kids, then why can't it be the reverse? Why can't a million homosexual kids turn into a million heterosexual kids if the premise is that it's a choice, that it's not DNA-driven? So... that's it. Everybody have a good weekend. And yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. You have a good one.
You too.
All right. Renee, you up.
Okay. I wanted to say to what he just said, where is the proof of that? There's been absolutely no proof, nothing substantiated at all to show that that is true. Even some of the scientists who tried to still say that there's some truth to that said it would still be, it wouldn't really matter because the element of choice is what's paramount, okay? We all have choices in life for what we want to do, and what you focus on in life will expand in the sense that if you begin to go in that direction of thinking about homosexuality and trying it and you delve into that, then that's going to expand for you. I'm not saying every child, but I'm saying that it's a possibility because children are impressionable. We know that. And if those children, and the reason why the black community is so susceptible is because we have such a high single mother rate, okay, so we're lacking fathers and masculinity in the home. Those children, in my opinion, are much more impressionable. And I have interviewed and talked with gay black men who have said things along that nature. So I'm just telling you. But it's not that I have one topic to talk about. I can talk about anything. However, there are people who have whatever premise that they're doing. For me, I'm working on a documentary on this issue, and I'm not just going to sit here and say things just what I think. But I've researched and documented all of this stuff. So whatever I'm talking about, I can show you something to back it up. Now, this is what I'm doing. So if you don't like it, then that's too bad. You can get your own soapbox or whatever it is that you want to do. And the thing is, I'm worried about my people. I'm not talking about older people. I'm not talking about people who are already gay and doing this, that, and the other. It's going to be the next generations that are going to be heavily affected. And I'm sorry and sad to say this, but you all will see. I'm sorry, because we're just not waking up. So anyway, I'll talk to you guys hopefully Sunday night. You feel free to call in. I guess they'll probably have a call-in section. So I'm looking forward to it, and thank you.
All righty. Thank you, ma'am. And I'll try and be there. All right. And let's see. My co-host, Mr. King, Cloud Nation Radio. What you got for me, man?
Oh, man, it was another awesome show. I enjoyed everything. I wish everybody a happy weekend. I definitely think I'm going to tune in, going to make a strong effort to tune in on Sunday. It sounds like it's going to be worth listening to. And I just want to see how it's going to turn out in the end. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate you being here, and I'm going to try and get in contact with you this weekend so we can work on some things, all right? So, but thank you once again for being here. All right, I want to say thank you to everybody participating in the show this week, not just this week, but today. And, man, it's been a good one. I'm telling you, it's been a good one. Ooh, boy, I tell you. Now, that's the way you end the week right there. That's the way you end the week, you know, conversation going, flowing, and, you know, just leave it all out there. Oh, man, I tell you, I'm just not going to add nothing to it. I'm just going to let y'all think about what's been said all day. All right, so it's been a good one. I see y'all Monday. Mad Monday. Wow, after Sunday night, I don't know. Maybe a lot to talk about on Mad Monday. Yeah, Renee, maybe we can do a continuation on the show Monday. We'll talk about it. But all right, y'all, once again, I want to say thank you. Y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. Spend time with your family or your loved ones, or just hang out and just chill yourself. All right? So remember, keep smiling. Show appreciation. Forgive with an open heart. Make sure you forgive yourself first before you forgive anyone else. And the last and most important thing to me is learn to laugh at yourself. You can learn to laugh at yourself, then everything else is gravy. All right? So this has been Let's Talk on Ball Talk Radio. For me, your host, Mr. Talk, and my co-host, Cloud Nation Radio. Y'all have a good one, and we'll see y'all Monday. We are going to say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.